United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no.
Let's go! Here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I hope you're having a good day today. Today is the 14th. Today is Friday and I'm home alone. Feels like I'm going to be here today by myself. That means you have to call in because even though I talk a lot, I can't talk 3 hours straight, so I'm going to need some help. The number is 347-945-5229. I had to give them some time off because they don't understand how, you know. But they worked while I was gone, and I was goofing off. So now Jeff and them are just taking some days off, and so it's just us. And I have not found a new song to replace my happy song, and I've tried. Yesterday they tried to find a happy song to replace my happy song, but I haven't been able to do that. So since I can't do that, you guys are stuck with me and Pharrell Williams. It just does the job. I don't know what it is about the song, but it just does the job. Today I'm going to talk about it's open mic, and so we'll go wherever you guys want to go, and we'll have a conversation about what you guys want to have a conversation about. But I do want to talk about spying and the NSA. I'm going to talk see what your thoughts on the Malaysia airliner that they cannot find. I want to go there a little bit today. Want to talk about the importance of and maybe find some solutions on how we're going to get Americans to actually become a participant in its democracy and its country. I don't think we will realize that because of us being so passive and being so lax, we are losing the whole freedoms that we take for granted. There's an old cliche that I used to hear that you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. And America seems to be not paying attention that it is losing ground in more ways than I think it wants to. And because we are asleep at the wheel, we're going to wake up in a society, and we are waking up every day in a society that you are not going to recognize the Americas. And the United States is based upon a collective agency and a collective community and everybody being a participant. And because we are sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do it, thinking that we have politicians that we can just sit in there and just automatically do the right thing, and we give them overwhelming power and no accountability, we think it's okay. But then we do the same thing on the local level, and you see these people every day. And these people have gotten to the point now where they have conditioned you to believe that you don't have the right and or the power to say, stop, no. And that's not true. The issue is you have to have a collective voice, and you have to go out and find other people that sound and think like you to push the agenda. And that's called lobbying. We have turned lobbying into a dirty word, and lobby is not a dirty word. Lobby means a group of people with the same mind and the same agenda, and they culminate their resources to push forth an agenda that is going to benefit their cause. And so we have allowed large businesses, and we've allowed other entities, and we've allowed people that don't even vote in America to have a larger lobbying strength than we do here as American citizens. But then we don't know because they haven't told us how the process works. And because of that, you see us where we are. Hey, good morning, Diva. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So I was thinking about this Malaysian airplane thing. And I haven't been watching the news because I've been doing a lot of reading and studying. So I haven't really, I was in the middle of doing something and I just heard the report. And so I just, do they think it's crashed or do they think it just disappeared? Was there a ransom or?
They don't know. Hear me what I'm saying. The problem is they don't know.
That's just weird.
It went like poof and they don't know. They don't know where it is. They don't know if it is. They don't know anything. All they know is there's a plane, and they can't find it, and they can't find the people on it. So they don't know if the people are in the ocean. Then they don't know if the people are dead. They don't know anything.
If that plane was in the ocean, there would be debris from that, I'm pretty sure.
They don't know if it's in the sea. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. And then they say something dropped off, and then it flew another 2,000 miles. So it wouldn't have dropped off the radar, but they still don't know. And I was listening this morning, and they were saying that they are a flight investigator. He said it would be very, very difficult for them to actually land that plane because you have to have a very, very long runway. And then to hide it, you'd have to have a whole lot of space. But I don't know.
I don't know either, Tracy. I'm like, I'm not surprised what determined people will do, but to me, it sounds like some type of government intervention somewhere. I've been watching the Netflix series House of Cards. I don't know if you're familiar with that show. Oh man, you thought Scandal was good?
No,
this ain't got Scandal. Ain't got none on this one. But it just goes to show you how dirty politics can be and how much of a game it can be. And it goes back to what you said about the American people.
Let me ask you this. When you watch it, because, I watch Scandal. I haven't watched House of Cards yet, but I do have to take a day one day and do nothing. Go get a Netflix and just sit there and watch it all day long and do nothing,
My gosh.
But
this one
my
is
question
about...
is, hold on. My question is, when you watch these shows, do you really think that that's how it works?
I always believe that there is truth to fiction. There's a little bit of truth to fiction. People just don't come up with the stuff off the top of their heads.
So why are we not paying attention?
Because a lot of people just see this stuff and just see it as what they want you to see it as, which is entertainment, just something to entertain you. But there are some people who are more deep in thought than that, and you can look at it and you can be like, okay, you want me to think that that really didn't happen or something similar to that didn't happen.
I'm looking at this, and when I look at the White House, and looking at what's going on, and there's some things that have happened over the years, and it's not new. I mean, if you look back into the Kennedys and look back into the history, they tell me Wilson, he was almost dead, and they would prop him up, make him look like he was reading the newspaper, and make him look like he was coherent when his wife was running the country.
Oh, you would have thought that JFK was a strapping fellow with no problems.
That's what I'm saying. And so they gave these images, and with these images that they gave, we found out that they're not true. Now, they've taken all these stories throughout the years, and they've put them all into something like Scandal or a television program. So, yeah, I think there's some truth to it. The question is, when you look at Congress, because you don't see them showing Congress in there. And you don't see them
House
showing
Cards,
the Senate in there.
House of Cards is about Congress, and it's about how the political workings of Congress works. And in this storyline, it's the Democrats and instead of Republicans. And
how are they gonna make Scandal Republican? I'm not saying.
Well, the president is a Republican administration. I don't get that either. It's crazy. But House of Cards is about the Democratic political party. It's about a guy named Frank Underwood. And shout out to the Underwoods, my family namesake, who is the Congressional Majority Whip for the Democratic Party. And it goes to show how he's willing and dealing to get what he wants and gain all this power. And it just goes to show how everybody wants something and how if they got it, if they want something, how they go about getting it. It's just crazy. And you got to know, and you sit and you think, wow, that's how it works. That's how they do things. We vote for these people, but our vote really is meaningless because by the time they get to Congress, I think that our vote is meaningless because by the time we get to Congress, it's like
they get corrupted. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, that's what the problem is. If you take a child, and let's break this down to the simplistic terms. If you take a child and you take this child and you don't give them any governance and any oversight, the child will go wayward. Am I correct?
You're correct.
If you take an employee and you hire them and you don't give them any direction and don't have some governance over them, they will go wayward. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So why do we send people to Congress and think they're always going to do the right thing?
Because we
Without
want
any oversight.
Sure, that's true. But we want to believe in people. And
no, we're lazy.
No, I don't think it's lazy. I think we want to have this belief and this faith that this person is going to do what they said they
should do. No. You can never have that kind of faith in someone because they smile at you, they take a pretty picture, and they give you a warm fuzzy that they're going to do the right thing without oversight. You're supposed to actually pay attention to what they're doing. And what's wrong with our system now is that our media has been corrupted by the system.
That's true.
And so you never get the truth. And when you get the truth, you think that it's a lie because you say, oh, it couldn't be that, until it just blows up in your face.
That's true. But, I mean, if the leadership is the most corrupt, then where's the oversight going to come from? You have corruption from the leadership all the way to the White House. Where does the oversight come from?
It comes from us.
How are we going to force it when we have these people creating laws? You think they're going to regulate themselves?
No. It comes from us. It comes from the people. That's why the Constitution says we the people. And so when your congressman comes back, you should have governance over him. Your school board, there should not be anything that goes on inside of public office that you don't like.
Yeah, but you get that person out of office, you get somebody else in, the same thing could happen. I believe that you got to get to the root of the problem. The root is the congressional leadership.
No, it's not Congress. It's not the Senate. Because, see, you want to blame Congress, but Congress is, if you look at the word Congress, Congress is the Senate and the House.
Right.
We separate them. It's not, there's a balance in power. The problem is we've given too much power to one entity or the other. Whether it be Congress or whether it be the administration.
The problem is you have people who hunger after the power that office can give them.
No.
And
we give them the power because they don't have any oversight. They don't have any retribution, and we allow them to do whatever they choose to do when they want to do it. We don't even know. There are some guys that are elected to office, and they don't even show up to the office but once a week or once a month.
Yeah, because why bother when you can't enact real change? You can't do what you were sent there to do because your leadership is preventing you from doing it.
That's what I'm saying, Diva. And so if I go to Congress, and if I go to Congress and speaking from a person who's just been on a small legislative body, if I go into there and I can't make change, then it's for me to go and make noise in my area. And hopefully if the people stand with you, it will impact change. The problem is when the person comes and speaks in the wilderness of the night and said there's a problem going on, we turn our lights off and go to sleep and say we don't want to be bothered.
So then your own leadership turns against you.
It's okay.
Funnels money to your opponent, and then you lose.
No. My opponent, if I'm doing the will of the people, I cannot lose.
You can't if you don't have any money. You don't have the leadership backing
you.
No,
Diva, you're not listening. I don't need the leadership to back me if I have the people. But the people have gone to sleep.
I need
the backing of the leadership because the people who are supposed to be backing me and supporting me
are gone. And so the people have to wake up. If the people wake up, you don't have to worry about the power of the hierarchy. And I can get things done. It gives me freedom. It gives me the autonomy to do whatever is necessary. Do you realize Jim Trafficant was a renegade? I'm going to take a break, and then I'll come back and talk about this. The number is 347-945-5229. If Jim Trafficant were in office right now, the whole landscape of America would look different. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Michael Savage.
I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse. Once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Sometimes she's here, you can another way.
Well, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 27 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and today is the 14th of March, 2014. It's warmer today than it was yesterday, so we're doing good. Today it's going to be about 33 degrees, and so it's not where it was, but hopefully, and I hear it's going to be cold this weekend. And next week, by Wednesday, we'll get up to 50 degrees again. Hopefully, we'll just get some continuity with this. Nadine was on the phone with me, and it looks like Alabama's there. But I said, I was saying to you, Diva, and I was saying to the audience, and it is open mic. The number is 347-945-5229, and if you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. I believe this. If Jim Trafficant was still in Congress, the landscape of America would be totally different than what it is today. And the reason why that was is because Jim had the backing of the people, and there was no way that you could actually put anybody up against him and them win. Jim Trafficant had it going on, and he may not have been the most orthodox, refined person in Congress, and you might want to say a lot of things about him, but what I have to say is he was a brilliant man when it came to the political landscape, and though he was of a different party than me, he was right more than two times a day.
And then, but yet, what happened?
They didn't like him, and because
exactly,
hold on,
they took him down.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. They didn't like him, and when you are a renegade, you have to make sure that your house is clean.
Right.
You can't do what everybody else does, and go against the grain too. And so that's something that we have to learn, and that goes for everyone.
Exactly. But what my point is, Tracy, is that he greased palms, and he allowed his palms to be greased.
No.
And when
no.
Yes, he. That's how. Didn't he get in trouble for corruption or something? Something he did illegally. He was doing illegal stuff, even though we didn't mind because he was doing what we consider great things. But the fact is, they found out about all that stuff. You don't think his leadership turned on him, that they didn't turn on him and turn him in?
The reason why they turned on him is because of the power that he wielded and the knowledge that he had. But what I said was, hear me what I'm saying. When you're a renegade, you have to keep a clean house.
Here's my thing, Tracy. The most powerful people on this planet are the ones we don't see. If you think that the real vocal ones are the ones building all that power in Congress.
You missed my point. You missed my point. If you're going to do the right thing, you got to have a clean house.
Right, but I still don't think. I think that he crossed someone who was more powerful than him,
mm-hmm.
and they turned, and that's how he ended up where he at.
Correct.
And that's just a message to everyone else.
But his house was not clean.
Right, his house wasn't clean, and that's how they used it. That's how they get you.
No, remember Herman Hill?
Yes.
Same thing. The main kitchen, same thing.
Right.
It's not about, and see, what I'm saying is you have to have a clean house. And a lot of us, I mean, your house may not be spick and span. But you better make sure that you got it as clean as you possibly can, and you walk the straight and narrow. You better bring your behind home at night and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches by yourself if necessary. Hey,
wait,
hey Alabama, how you doing this morning?
Are you talking to me?
Oh,
yes, aren't you Alabama?
Oh,
Alabama.
Yeah, that's me. What's going on?
How you doing?
What's happening?
Man,
hey,
it's beautiful down there. I know why you live in the South.
Hey, it feel good out here, man. I got on a T-shirt, shorts, going to work, man. Got to love it, man. It's feeling good.
You go to South,
I ain't gonna lie, the
other
day it was about 50-something, though.
Hey, Alabama, I just left Florida. I know. I found it out. I know why you folks live in the South now.
Hey, I've been working out. I'm finna try to get in this physique competition thing.
Ooh-wee.
I got down. I lost about 10 pounds. I'm just feeling good. I just got off the scale this morning. Feeling lovely, man. I'm down to, I was 227. Now I'm down to 217. So.
And how tall are you again?
6'2".
Oh, my gosh.
You think he's cute.
I'm just saying.
He think he's cute.
I'm going to really try to get in shape. I'm going to try to get down about, like, I say about, I ain't going to get too low, about, like, 200, maybe 195 or somewhere. I can't go too low.
Did you see his picture, Tracy?
No.
Okay. The brother would make you want to go back to the brothers. Would make a sister want to go back to the brothers.
Oh, back to the brothers. Oh, yeah. I saw Diva got a little, she booed up now. She got a little boyfriend now.
This old picture of him when he was boxing?
Oh, that's old? No, he
that's
put
old.
A new, I, well, his other
that
picture.
That was when I was modeling in New York then. That was like 07, 2000.
That was,
yeah,
100 years old.
At 117
pounds. Well,
wait a minute.
I was 208 on that picture now. Diva, I'm about 7 pounds heavy, like a few more pounds heavier. Don't play me
you
like
You know
that.
What Alabama's like? You see them people when they die in the obituaries and they got their picture up there and it's like 50 years old.
Yeah.
That's Alabama.
You're
going to
make me hop a plane and come up there. When I get in real good shape, I'm going to hop the plane and I'm going to fly up there. Just talk trash. If not, I'm yeah, I ain't got to do that. I'm just going to take pictures and hold up a newspaper. So you'd be like,
well,
oh,
like
okay.
I thought he was maybe pushing 400 pounds with real thick glasses.
No.
Oh, I'm a fat
Diva.
Nerd, huh?
Diva,
I'm just
he
mad.
Might be. Diva, remember, this is the phone.
What?
We on the phone. Huh? We ain't none of us ever seen it. And the pictures he put up on Facebook are 100 years old. don't be caught up in the photo. I mean, all of us got a good young photo. But dang, his is like 100 years old. You know, you could put up like a new one up.
If I told you I'm trying to go for this, so I'm just lying, right?
Hey, you know,
line.
I know some folks.
They call it hate now. You be having all these physical guests on here talking about working out. And you talking about, well, I like to cook. That's your fault. So now you're going to tell me, nah, that ain't
that's
him.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
You know what I'm going to do? That's why I quit cooking. So when I get married, I ain't cooking. I'm done.
What?
Oh, absolutely. They want a great looking wife. They're gonna be eating raw and they're gonna be eating Brussels sprouts with I think sticks. What do you call it? Figs and twigs.
Stems and twigs. Yeah.
Yeah, stems and twigs.
But my wife.
You gonna marry Mister? You gonna marry Mister? He gonna be like, get out here and do me right now.
They're gonna be getting twigs and Brussels sprouts.
Well, I hope you gonna be compensating for them twigs and Brussels sprouts in another.
I ain't compensating
area.
That.
Last
I know.
Several months,
not
I've learned 150 ways to cook broccoli.
So let me get this straight. You're going to get married, then you're going to start eating healthy.
No, I'm going to start eating healthy now, and I'm going to stop cooking. So ain't no more German chocolate cakes, ain't no more fried chicken, collard greens, all that kind of stuff, none of that.
Hey, I'm going to tell y'all a secret. I'm going to tell y'all a secret because I really think
macaroni and cheese and sweet potato pies will not be a part of my repertoire.
Tell y'all a weight loss secret that'll just weight just fall right off you.
Yeah, quit eating.
Eat all your food in an 8-hour window. So if you don't eat today until 12 o'clock, don't finish everything by 8.
Yeah, that don't work
that,
for me. Sorry.
It's called intermittent fasting. I don't know why it don't work for you, because it worked for me. It worked for everybody.
It worked for everybody.
No.
Because you, that's because you can't stop eating past 8 o'clock.
Diva, let me tell you something.
No,
I'm
actually not eating
Diva.
Much
Diva,
like I used to, and I'm not eating fast food, but I still cannot drop this weight.
This is the thing. Diva, if you 5'7", 100 and whatever pounds or whatever, you only can get, like, maybe, let's just say, 2,200 calories a day.
Dude, I'm only
5'3". Okay, well, I'm just saying, so you need to be low, like maybe 400 calories a day. So if you do that and you measure your calories out, you should be able to do that. You probably eating, in that 8-hour window, you probably eating 2,200 calories, 2,500
calories.
No,
about 1,200 to 1,400 calories.
If you're eating 1,400 calories and you ain't losing no weight, something wrong with you. You need to do a weight
Hold on. You know what happens is, and this is what I believe is true, and I've got to ask Doris and John. People work out, or they work out and eat, or they don't eat and they don't work out. And so you think that you're doing something, but you ain't burning nothing.
Well, I'll work out and then I'll go eat. I mean, I have to replace some calories I just lost.
See what I'm saying? And it's all butter and fat. Hold on, Alabama. Hold on, Diva. Hey, Sticks, you wanted to come in and chime in about the young man down in Florida that won.
Yeah.
Jolly.
Yeah. Congressman Jolly just got elected, and the party pulled away from him. As a matter of fact, they were bad-mouthing him on Politico 3 days before the election, and he still won. So it's,
but he was running
people behind you.
It had nothing to
do with getting the party. Ted Cruz, look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was not the chosen one for the party.
But that was a general election in Florida, correct? Meaning
no,
he was running against
primary.
It was a
special election.
It was a special election.
A deceased member of Congress.
Okay.
And they pulled he was the only Republican against the her last name was Sink, Alex Sink. And she was the favorite. She had all the name recognition. She had the full backing of the Democrat Party. And
yeah,
Republicans pulled away from this guy and said, "You're on your own, pal." And they even wrote hit pieces on him in Politico, Karl Rove, and others about why he couldn't win 4 or 5 days before the election.
But isn't this, it wasn't that a, that was so, let's make sure I'm correct, that was a general election between a Democrat and Republican
in a district
that a Republican held already. Well, yeah, special election that a Republican already held.
It was a very purple district because President Obama had won that district the last two elections.
Mm.
It was a purple district. Even though a Republican congressman had held the seat for 50 years, it was still a very purple district. A lot of transplants from New York lived there.
It was a violet district. Violet is the color.
Yeah.
Yeah. It swung
just
both ways.
Funny.
But, you know,
violet.
Going back to what Tracy said about if you're going to be a renegade, you have to clean your house. That's the first thing Glenn Beck did when he decided to take on everybody, was he put everything he'd ever done in his whole past out in front of the world. And he said, "I don't have anything to hide. I was a real dirtbag once, and here's everything I did. I'm an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was a very evil person."
Yeah, you can't hide it.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're going to be a renegade, you've got to be out there, but you've got to be clean. You can't try to have a couple skeletons in the back of your closet. You still have to hide, and that's
see,
what we
my
have
mom
got
always
learned.
Told me,
all they
got
to do is lie on you. They can lie on you.
The devil, because the devil is always going to want his due.
But the
and
devil,
you don't
listen,
always owe him something.
The diva, listen, and I'm with y'all. I understand. And listen, I've been lied on. But see, it's one thing to fight a lie. It's another thing to fight the truth.
True.
See, I'm serious. I have been in political office, and I have been lied on. They've made a lie up, and I don't even know where they got the lie. It's like, how did you come up with that lie? Because you reached really far for that one. And it was an embarrassing lie. I mean, it was like, whoa, not me. But you can fight a lie, and you can win. But it's hard for you to fight the truth, knowing it's the truth, and win. Because the truth always prevails. Hold on just a second. Private caller, who is this? Private caller, making noise.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Hello, how you doing, Tracy? Yeah,
hey, Marilyn.
I was in the middle of stuff. Yeah, I had you guys on speakerphone. Well, real quick, and I'm going to put myself on mute. I just want to say, you know, when conservative women start to work out in the gym, they want to show their shape a little bit more. That's all I wanted to say for right now.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And I just want to say, in a black society, it's good as far as being a personal trainer. That's one of the businesses in our community that's up and up. I mean, being a personal trainer is really, it's a thriving business now. So
yes, it is.
That's all I wanted to say so far, Tracy.
You a trainer?
All right.
You a trainer?
I'll be right back.
No, I'm messing with a trainer, though.
Man, look here. That business,
think about doing it on the side. You ain't really got, like people say, you got to be certified. If you play any kind of type of sport, you just about know, you know better than a lot of trainers. Like, I've seen trainers that certified, pass these tests, and they don't know nothing about working out, about, you know, you can learn a lot. You got to do is read and apply yourself, and you can be a heck of a trainer. I know people that got no certification.
Mr. Alabama, I'm going to need you to send a recent picture to my inbox.
Okay. I got pictures on there. I don't know what she's talking about. We just went to Disney World not too long ago. I got pictures of that.
Well, I haven't even been on there, but, man, you a fine brother. I'm just going to put it out there. You
well,
fine.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you must have unfriended me, Diva.
Now you got me blushing.
Did you unfriend me?
No, I'm not on Facebook right now.
Oh, okay. I ain't got no post for you in I don't know how long.
I know I deactivated my page for a while. So, Alabama, when I come back online, I'm going to send you a message, and you got to send me a recent picture. Because
yes, ma'am. I'll do what I can.
You ain't going to have me on her voucher for you.
I got what?
You actually looking like a 400-pound somebody.
No, I tell you what. I took a picture last night in the gym. You got one.
No, I don't think my boyfriend gonna want me to see that one. But
well, shoot, I mean, he all up in your Facebook account like that.
I don't know. I might be on Facebook and look and be like, God, yay!
I'm trying. What I wanted to do was try to get like a certain size.
Please
but
don't
I, that's
tell
why
me
I've
you,
been lifting.
Dude, you're 6'2". Please don't tell me you're trying to get like 180, 160 pounds.
I can't do that. I can't
That's
get no done. Because I'm all legs, really. I'm not. I'm going to get to where I'm
going. Do y'all guys
content.
Go by that? Alabama. Do you guys go by that that body and weight index? Do you guys go by that?
Oh, no,
think
I can't
about
do
that,
man.
No, because they're considered me overweight, like almost obese. Going by that thing.
I'm obese because I'm over 200. I was obese as a few days ago. I was obese. Now I'm moderate. I'm like almost obese because I'm 217 pounds.
I'm pushing obese because I'm 5'3" and I'm about, you know,
if
over
you got
100
muscle, pounds. If you got some sort of muscle or size, you're not, and I hate to say most black people ain't walk around like that. We're not a light people. Like, we got,
yeah.
Especially brothers.
I'm 5'10", 210. Yeah. Now, am I considered overweight?
To what?
Well,
I'm
5'10".
I'm 5'10", I weigh 210 pounds. I'm all.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
That's normal.
Listen, I'm 10 pounds overweight. It says, listen, they say if you're six even, a male six even, you're supposed to make 180, between 180 and 185.
Ooh, that's
I'm
195. Too skinny.
If I was 180, that's my body fat. I'd be just straight muscle if I was 185. 0% body fat, and I'd be going to the hospital sick. I can't do that.
I know.
I don't like no skinny men. I like a man with some meat on his bones. I can't do skinny men.
Yeah, but see us men when we gotta watch that belly, our belly catches up to us real quick.
I don't mind a belly. I don't mind a nice belly. I'm just weird like
well,
that.
I'm going for perfection. I'm trying to get all the fat off. I'm trying to be.
Well,
just
you know,
right.
In Baltimore, I got a little thing for you. In Baltimore, you know, if some women, you know, we call them booty views. And what a booty do is, I can't say what Tracy's going on now.
All I know what you're talking about, the butt big as a stomach.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Because I'm happy.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is 46 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 14th of March. And today here in Mahoney Valley, it looks as though it's going to be around 25 degrees, 32 degrees, somewhere around there, and it's going to be still a little nippy. That's still below freezing. Didn't ask South Carolina and or Alabama what the weather is in the south, if you don't care. Who was making the noise? Who said they were going to use the phone and not make the noise? Who's making noise? There you go. Who was that?
It's probably me.
Hey, Alabama, I still haven't been able to find a, I haven't been able to find a song to replace a happy.
All right, look here. I'm going to send you a song. I'm going to send you a song. You just play it, okay? Don't ask questions. I just, next bump, they just change that for your bumper music. Because if I hear that song, it's on commercials. It's on, I mean, the dude that made millions of dollars off that one song.
Listen, you got to understand, I started playing it first. Didn't you heard it here. Okay, it's the truth. Hey, listen, Diva.
Yes.
What was going on? I had to turn you in, and I had to stop my show early yesterday. I couldn't let y'all go no further. What was up with you and you and Mike yesterday?
One thing I do not like, I can debate with people, but what I don't like is to be yelled at just because I have a difference of opinion. And he tends to do that a lot to people. And I couldn't take it anymore, so. Plus, he said something that I didn't like, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I lost it.
And, okay, that, oh, yeah, you did. I mean, did you notice I just cut all y'all off?
Yep. I didn't know you stayed and listened to us.
Uh-huh. Now you know.
When was this after the show?
After the show, they were going off on each other. I just made it to where they could talk to each other.
I got to pull that up and watch it then, because
it was bad.
It won't happen again.
Who am I on speakerphone with anybody? How's that? Yeah. Hey, listen, did you guys hear about Snowden? And they want to nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize? Sweden lawmakers nominate Edward Snowden for a Nobel Peace Prize. Did you guys hear that?
Well, Tracy, on that note, I nominate you, Tracy.
Talking about WikiLeaks?
No, WikiLeaks. The guy over in you know, the whistleblower.
Snowden.
Yeah, the guy from
that's
the NSA.
WikiLeaks.
No, that's not WikiLeaks.
Yeah,
that's the guy from the NSA,
he
right?
The guy that brought the WikiLeaks
Eric Snowden.
That's him.
Yeah, he gave all that information to WikiLeaks. What's his name? Assange. Assange is the owner of WikiLeaks, and he gave all the information to him.
I'm glad they need to give it to him because that guy. I mean, the government's doing stuff that's not necessary. They're spying on the citizens. They're spying on everybody. I understand you have to work covert operations with the CIA, but these organizations are out here, really, a lot of people, America's hated a lot of times because of the covert actions of the CIA. That's why I'm just not just 100% okay, like a lot of Republicans, hey, just everything military, everything CIA is good. No, that's not the case.
So you think, I mean, because he's the one who stole the information and then he has asylum over in Russia right now.
I want to know what I'm doing. I want to know that they're doing that to us without tax dollars. Like, I want to know they're taking my emails. I want to know because they don't have that right. That's unlawful search and seizure. I mean, that's illegal, and they should be put in jail, whoever is implementing this program at the CIA, all of them.
And you know that he actually showed up via video satellite. By South by Southwest, and South by Southwest is a huge conference and convention that is put together for investors and people who are of the tech industry, and they're usually geeky, and they all converge over to Texas for a series of days, and he actually came through satellite video so that he could actually present to them about what's going on and what spying and all that kind of stuff is happening. And then if you listen to Barbara Boxer, she's all got her britches in a bunch because she's mad because I think they were spying on members of Congress. And she's upset because they were doing that, and she says that they shouldn't. But then they're spying on Americans also, so what's the difference?
Why do you think they call Capitol Hill Mount Olympus? Why is it called Mount Olympus? What's Olympus in Greek mythology? Ain't that where all the gods live? They ain't that's where they from. So they're the gods. All the elected politicians are gods, and we're just the mere mortals. So.
No, that's not God because they think they're God. I mean, who was that? There was a TV program, and they said, but I'm God. I can't think of who. I got to think about which TV show or TV movie or what something. He really thought he was king of the hill, and we don't understand it. It was a comedy, and we don't understand they're not God. They're not, you know, totally autonomous, and we need to actually become more knowledgeable about what they're doing and quit allowing them to actually exempt everybody else when they put laws in effect for us.
Well, Tracy, also, and I know, I think Hollywood a lot of times emulates what real life, because they got this movie with Johnny Depp coming out where I think it's called something, where basically this guy's consciousness is placed within a computer, and then he goes bad, he goes rogue, and he starts doing a lot of things. But he's trying to, he thinks he's God. Like, he gets in the computer, and he starts doing all types of stuff. But this is what, I mean, I can show you on different videos where people actually want to become, they want to put their consciousness in computers and live forever. So when you're dealing with, like, those people that Diva was talking about people that are more powerful that we don't know about, this is how these people think. That's what they're trying to do. This is what they're going for.
But the reason why they get away with it is because we're asleep. Would you say, Eric?
It's transhumanism.
Transhumanism?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
The name of the movie is something. The point where they're supposed to reach, where computers are supposed to be smarter than humans, I forget it has a name. I forgot what it was. But when it gets to that point, this guy's going to be sick. He's going to get shot or something. Then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, well, you got 2 weeks to live. They place his brain in the computer, and he mess around and become one with the computer. And I guess he gets so smart to where he starts to, okay, well, I know what's best for people. You know, kind of like how a lot of the people in Washington think, too. They think they know what's best for us, and they allow us to breathe. They allow us to keep the you know, 50% of our checks that we get to keep after all the true taxes they've taken out of our checks. They allow us this stuff. So that's how they feel. They've even spoken. I think Hillary Clinton said some stuff like that one time about she feels like we're allowed to, you know, they allude to that. So, and I think all of them think like that. I'm not just saying Democrats. I think they all think that way. So, I'm all for what they call the Convention of States, the Article 5 Convention, because these people ain't going to discipline themselves, at least the Congress.
But this is what I'm saying. They're not supposed to discipline themselves, and because the American electorate is lazy. Everybody's mad at Paul Ryan for saying that inner city men have a very lazy attitude when it comes to being productive at work. Everybody's mad. My question is, America is lazy. Don't we know that yet? Hey, Eric. Explain transhumanism.
It's the whole bionic man ideal, you know, trying to fuse yourself with machines so that you can live forever.
There's a TV show on right now.
Yeah, intelligence. Hold on. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Intelligence, yeah.
I think it's coming to a place near you, if you ask me.
Tracy,
really
that's for us, though. That's not for us. That's for the wealthy. That's for the government.
That's to control you.
Ted Turner talks about half a million people on, or half, what's it, half a billion. That's what they're talking. They think it's only for the elites. It's not going to be for every Joe Blow on this planet now.
Listen to what I'm saying. It is to control you. So whether it's a part of you or, and as a matter of fact, I don't think
if anybody knows what I know, I think you would all stay away from that and don't let nothing go in your brain or in your hand. Because that RFID chip is coming to a series,
like
coming to a store near you, and that's for you.
It's like RoboCop. They're really trying to do that. They want super soldiers out there.
It makes revelations. I mean, when you look at the Book of Revelation, I mean, it just
it's
makes it seem
fruition.
A lot. Because it's like, okay, they're trying to give them, you know, it's deep, man. It's deep. I mean, I could get into it, but I'm sure
that's what I'm saying. It's real.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What's the point of having a Second Amendment if you're shooting your gun at the cop and the cop won't go down? Or the tyrannical government in this case, you know?
But if they can shut you
off,
then you don't have to worry about
funding,
it.
That's why I'm not for all this funding. Just like they tripping about welfare, Lockheed Martin, United Defense, all these companies getting all this money and doing stuff, and we don't know where to, we don't have a way as American people of going and see. Because common sense, if you really want to fix the budget, you're supposed to sit down and write it out and see where your money's going. We don't know where our money's going. It's all spread out. And then if they tell us, they're lying half the time. Like they'll tell you, hey, it costs $30,000 to do something. I've submitted for government contracts, and I've seen people charge three times what it really costs to do stuff. So, I mean, that's just how it is, man. These people are taking this money, taking our tax dollars, and doing stuff with it. And I don't think they mean as well. That's just my personal opinion.
But that's the reason why they don't is because we're lazy. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We're lazy. We won't hold them accountable. We want to send them off. We're like a lazy parent. We want to have a baby, coochie, coochie, coo, and then let him raise himself. That's not how this democracy works. And because we have become lazy and lackadaisical in our responsibility, we will let them run amok, and that's what they're doing. And I don't see why we don't see that. And the media, who's supposed to be the police and or the informant, has been bought up by the people with money because we've allowed it to happen. We've done this. And we won't take ownership of it because we want to blame somebody else. It's America. America is lazy. That's why we're the laughingstock of the world now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Tracy. I mean, you can go on the streets and walk up to people and ask them who the Speaker of the House is.
Who?
Not only can they not tell you, they don't know what the Speaker of the House is.
Who? Who's the Speaker of what? We don't speak. I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy
that's
two heartbeats away from being the president.
How many heartbeats?
Two.
Oh, don't worry about it. We got insurance.
Yeah, but people don't know that.
Hey, I'll be right back. I got to go take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. Today is Friday. I'm home alone, so you guys have to stick with me because, you know, I can't talk for 3 hours straight. So we'll be right back.
Down Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Fresh allegations about defects in GM cars linked to fatal crashes. The autos were recalled last month because of faulty ignition switches, but now, says one group,
when airbags failed to deploy in Chevy Cobalt and Saturn Ions, Clarence Ditlow at the Center for Auto Safety says 303 people died.
Not all of those are the ignition switch defect, but the government should have investigated each and every one of them to find out why airbags are not going off.
Government regulators said they lacked evidence to warrant an investigation. An ignition switch defect that could cut power to airbags led GM to recall 1.6 million cars. The company said it knows of a dozen deaths and called the new report pure speculation. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
A new mystery in the disappearance of the Malaysian Airlines jet. Two U.S. officials have told ABC News the shutdown of communication systems on the plane appears to have been a deliberate act. ABC News aviation consultant Stephen Ganyard says that complicates the search.
There's an irony here. We know that we can eliminate some of the theories that have been out there, the massive explosions, but now we have this search area that's so large that our search and rescue effort is really almost daunting to even think about.
The plane disappeared 6 days ago. Crisis talks on the Ukraine. Secretary of State Kerry meeting in London with Russia's foreign minister. A snap referendum in Ukraine could lead to more tensions on the Crimean Peninsula. The West is getting ready to impose sanctions on Russia.
Neither threats nor diplomacy have produced results, and Ukraine's instability is becoming deadly. In the eastern city of Donetsk, at least two reported killed when pro-Russia demonstrators clashed with a pro-Ukraine group, an ominous sign of a country being pulled apart.
ABC's Alexander Marquardt in eastern Ukraine. The West says Russia is undermining Ukraine's government. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
The collapse of two apartment buildings in New York City this week is still being treated as a rescue operation. Workers with video and sound devices are listening for voices, looking for clues. A gas blast was the cause. 8 people died. Spring just around the corner, and in most parts of the country, that's likely to lead to a pickup in home buying. If you're thinking about taking out a big loan, check your credit history.
It's the first step you really want to take when you're thinking about taking out a loan.
CPA financial planner Kelly Long.
You don't want to have any surprises when you finally decide on that perfect purchase, and then you sit down and they go, oh, sorry, you can't get a loan because there's this on your credit report, and you have to take 3 steps back.
You can get your credit reports free.
The website is annualcreditreport.com. That's the government-mandated website.
Unlike other websites, this one offers to check your credit without any marketing come-ons. It's annualcreditreport.com. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Their name is Safe Auto for a reason. Safe because it's smart to have car insurance, and auto because that's all we do. The right car insurance for the right price right now. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios. The auto show may be gone, but your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer still has great auto show specials, like 0% financing for 60 months and attractive leases on a huge selection of 2014 Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle. And we stand out from the competition. At InfoCision, we value your hard work and reward you for it. Earn competitive wages, weekly pay and bonus, excellent benefits, and an opportunity for advancement. All with an impressive fitness center and doctor's office on site. InfoCision is now hiring call center professionals at all 3 locations in the area. A local company committed to keeping jobs in America. Learn more about the openings for full and part-time call center positions and our impressive benefits package by calling 1-800-210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com. Once again, call 800-210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com.
The Savage Nation is heard here on News Talk 600.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is sun, the sun is shining. It's going to be 39 degrees today, and it looks like here in Youngstown, Ohio. And maybe it'll go up to 56 before the day is out. That'll be nice. Can we get up to 70 and stay with a little green grass and all that kind of stuff? It'll be really nice. I think Diva, who's out there? Diva and Eric are on the line, and it looks like Marilyn is out there, but he's got us on mute because he's making noise. Alice is in the chat room. Covina Man's in the chat room. Lloyd is in the chat room. And Zuckerberg says he called President Obama on the phone and told him he expressed his frustration over the NSA surveillance program. And that's what Zuckerberg is the owner of Facebook. And then you have Snowden, who is the whistleblower, who told everybody that they were being spied on. And this is an issue that is really, really bothering me, because what they do is they collect metadata. And this, I don't think people know what metadata does and what metadata is. And it gives them more of a footprint of who you are. They don't have to listen to your conversation and go through all of the chatter that you want to give. They know more from your metadata than they do from your phone conversation. You give out stuff that you don't even realize you're giving stuff out just by where you go, what you do, where you shop, how you live.
Hey,
Eric, what's going on? Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm sure you've seen, I know you know about the show Person of Interest.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. That's all it is.
I know that. That's all it is. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so what Dean was saying a little bit earlier about there's some truth to the fiction. That's true. I agree. Because Person of Interest, that's all. The only thing that makes it fiction is that they can actually project who's going to get killed or not be killed next. That's the fiction part of it. But everything else is dead on. I wonder why people are sleeping through this and not paying attention. I don't think we understand that the government spying on you is not a good thing.
Yeah, it's just like they know where you shop, they know where you bank, they know how much money you spend, they know if you like to gamble.
Listen to this. If I got your Walgreens card, your Giant Eagle card, your Family Dollar, not Family Dollar, but that's called a Bottom Dollar card, your gas card, and your internet information, I could know more about you and your family than you would ever want me to know.
Oh, yeah. Your criminal background, your driving record.
I know if you are an alcoholic. I
but
know
see,
you're...
My problem is we put so much focus on the federal government. We take our eyes on the local government where the immediate effect is felt. You have police officers setting people up, now coming out what they're doing, and now they had one guy where the police sent an informant into his shop and planted crack on the counter, and they literally thought they had a solid case until that video came out. And then you have the police, and then you have the Supreme Court ruling that now the police no longer need probable cause to enter your house. They just need someone to say that they allow anyone, not just the homeowner, but anyone who is there to say, yes, you can come in and search the premises if they ask.
This is the issue, Diva. We allowed this. And let me say this. Remember, and Styx and I keep on having this conversation, and you guys don't seem to listen to us. Black folks are a pilot, an experiment on people control for the rest of the country and the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah. It started, yeah. I mean, I said it before, but you look at the housing projects, compare them to the new suburban developments, and it's the same thing. All the houses look the same dimensions, same square footage. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, you know, there's a case in New York with the New York City Fire Department. I heard this on Fox News. Lady Miss Oswood, what happened was she gave a report to the New York Times, and she just stated that she was questioning about another female's promotion and how some females would get, extra treatment and extra promotions because they were females. And she just mentioned, the paper just mentioned that a woman from the fire department interviewed with the paper.
Yeah.
The fire department got a subpoena for all of the women who worked for the fire department, found out the woman, Miss Oswood, who met with the reporter, found out the reporter's name, and they're finding out right now why did they have permission to do that. That's like saying if you just label, say, a person from the sanitation department or a male from the sanitation department spoke to this reporter, they went and got a subpoena for all the male employees' records to find out which employee actually talked to that reporter. That's crazy. This is what they're doing. This is crazy.
If you watch C-SPAN,
if
you look at C-SPAN, which nobody watches, and myself included, they pass these bills at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's almost like they wake up in the middle of the morning and call a meeting.
Well,
but then you
all
literally sleep.
Well, not only that, but they bury a lot of stuff into these bills. That's why the bills are so big, the pages are so many, because who's really going to sit there and take time to read 300 pages of small print of legal jargon?
So why do we allow it?
Like I said, because we're literally asleep when they do it.
No, I'm saying, have you guys ever gone online and read one of the bills and then and looked at a full bill with the full addendums and amendments and the things that are clung to and that cling to it that have absolutely nothing to do with the bill itself?
There's a bunch of writing that's just a jar over a blazer, you know. They never get straight to the point. But doesn't this bill renew every year or every so years?
No. Which one? All of them? No. Some of them do and some of them don't.
Right.
The Patriot Act, I don't believe, comes up for renewal, but the NSDAA, I might be pronouncing it wrong, the Reauthorization Act, that has to come up for renewal ever so often.
But when,
and that's
even when
where
it
the
does,
NSA spying is under.
They overreach. They put stuff in the bills that you have to actually research it out and see all the amendments that go along with everything. Because remember, the Patriot Act, the one that they actually passed is not the one that is out today. Today it's on steroids. But Ashcroft was. Go ahead, Eric.
They put all this pork in the bills, and then all the other lawmakers say, well, I want my pork too, so we add more pork, and then this lawmaker says he wants more pork, and then she wants more pork, and then next thing you know, you get this bill with all these hidden, you know, clauses to it.
Oh, it's not just simply, I want this, I want that. It's, I'll give you this for your vote for this bill, even though you are against this bill fundamentally. But
it's
how long
would
you vote for some crappy bill?
Diva, it's way beyond that. You guys think it's just that simple. It's not. It ain't about you. It's no longer tit for tat. And that's where it comes for oversight. We're not paying attention. And when President Obama said that he was going to make sure that all of these things were going to be on display before they passed, and then all of a sudden you've never seen a bill happen, there's a reason for that.
He got to pay the devil's due.
What devil's due?
Politics is a game. And everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a piece. In order to make it to the end, to be the victor, you've got to have a piece of your soul somewhere to somebody.
No, Diva, you don't.
Due and it's due.
No, Diva, you don't.
Well,
okay.
Well, when the game, you do something for me, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You pass this bill for my community, I'll go ahead and sign you, pass your bill for your community. Like Tracy, like you told us before, it's so many bills that run past them every year, 200. They just, some of them just be yes, no, but they try to go out for the specific ones. That 200-some bills come. And I know it's a cluster because we have a lot of issues. They don't have an easy job.
No, sweetheart, they do. No, they do. They have staffers. I will say at least 30% or more. And I'm using conservative numbers. 30% of people who are in Congress have never read a bill. They've read the Cliff Notes, but as far as actually sitting down and watching paint dry and reading something that has been as crazy as the bills that they passed, I will bet to say that they have not read a bill. Both senators and people in the House.
Now, I know on some days they have to, crunch time. How many run across this?
Not many. I guess they lied to us. Absolutely. You realize that every time they change the name of a post office, that's a bill.
Well, when I was speaking, I was visualizing. I'm sorry, I wasn't visualizing the state government. I was visualizing my state of Maryland government, local politics here. But I understand what you're saying. You're right, even locally, even in your state house,
they're just as clueless as the ones, and they're more important
right,
if you want to know
I'm
the
saying,
truth
right.
than the federal government. And all
yeah.
of them are ignorant. You ought to see how they treat each other for who's in power and who's not in power. When Republicans are in power, they treat the Democrats bad.
So that their office may be a closet. And when Democrats are in power, it's vice versa. They're a bunch of childish people sitting on a hill playing with people's lives. And the American people are sitting on the sidelines thinking that they're a part of the system when they're asleep. You cannot be asleep and be a part of something at the same time. It doesn't work. And until we educate ourselves on the process and the system, we will always be sitting on the sidelines. But we do that with our churches, too.
Well, what do you do with people who say they don't even believe in that the whole voting system is rigged? I hear a lot of people talk about a lot of politics, and they don't even believe in voting.
I know, because they have not been taught how to engage the system.
Well, no, and I mean, my question to them is, their argument is always that they must have a system, and my question to them is, if this system's collapsed, how are you going to get a consensus of the people? It still comes to voting. So if you don't like this system, you're going to have another system. So when you hear people say that, I mean, how can you discuss politics if you don't even believe in voting? I mean, I must say people have they must keep their mouth quiet.
Eric, listen, when we are younger, we have to teach our children the process. You know, if you look at Sir William, Prince William over in England, look at what goes on with him. He is raised to understand the political structure of what's around him so that he can govern. He is indoctrinated from a child to know what's going on around him so that he can govern. We don't raise our children with the information that they need so that they can become better. And the reason why we think that our vote doesn't count, not because it doesn't count, it's because we don't understand how the vote works. Because voting is more than just going and casting a ballot. Taking a sheet of paper, watching a commercial on television, and then casting a ballot, and then we think we've done something and wonder why we're not getting any results out of it. And we're going to have to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, it's my fault too. We go to church and we don't read our Bible. We wait for the preacher to say something. We wait for a happy song, and then we walk away. And then we wonder why we don't have a relationship with God. That's just how it works. And until we change our paradigm, we will always be in this mess. And we are in a mess. And I think that was Diva was talking about the corrupt police officers. Honey, there's been corrupt police officers since the beginning of time, and there always will be. Always will be. The question is, what are we going to do about them? That's the question. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, listen, I want to bring up Tyler Perry's movie. He's got a movie coming out tonight about single moms. And I was reading somewhere, and he was really upset because they asked him why was he glorifying single moms. And he said, because single moms do a whole lot of work, and most of them are not single because they want to. And let me say this. There is a group of people out there that I believe that they don't want to be single moms, and it just has happened that way. There are a lot of single moms out there like that. But there are a lot of people out there that we are breeding because we have not learned how to deal with our relationship and our commitments. It goes back to work again. Same thing. You can't be in a relationship without having work. And I don't think we really understand that. Hey, it is what it is. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage. I'm opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown police say the former manager of a local Christian bookstore stole as much as $3,000 when he worked at the family Christian store. The 36-year-old man has been charged with theft. Police believe he would void transactions on the cash register, then pocket the money. More jobs and more money are coming to Youngstown. VAM-USA is building a new steel pipe threading facility within the Route 422 corridor. 80 new jobs will be created, and the city itself is also expected a nice financial boost from income tax revenue. The finance director says that Youngstown will likely receive $250,000 to $300,000 annually. And a 34-year-old man has been sentenced to 5 years in prison for taking part in the enslavement of a mentally disabled woman and her child. Daniel Brown, according to officials, is just one of four people charged in the crime. Police say the woman was taken captive so that the accused could steal her government benefits and her pain medication. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
All year long, you'll find something exciting happening at White House Fruit Farm in Canfield. Of course, there are always fresh, locally grown fruits and vegetables, as well as baked goods and specialty foods, and those donuts worth driving for. And nobody does special events better, so say goodbye to cabin fever and join us for White House Weekend, March 15th and 16th, for plenty of family fun and great food. Everybody loves White House, just south of Canfield, Ohio, on Route 62 at Western Reserve Road.
The St. Patrick's Day sale is going on all this month at Harbor Pet Center in Boardman. From puppies and kittens to birds and exotics, they're all on sale. Harbor Pet Center is dedicated to matching the right pet to you with pet counselors that are devoted to helping you bond with your new friend. Stop into Market Street in Boardman for the huge Harbor Pet Center St. Patrick's Pet Sale going on now. There's money-saving offers on cats, birds, small animals, reptiles, and amphibians, pet food and supplies, and much more. Available now at Harbor Pet Center in Boardman. Visit harborpetcenter.com for money-saving coupons. Get $100 off any puppy, a free parakeet with the purchase of any cage, and $10 off a purchase of $40 or more. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Call 330-758-4950. Harbor Pet Center, 7338 Market Street in Boardman, behind Five Guys. Open daily, 10 till 9, Sunday, noon till 6. Harbor Pet Center, we've got the pets.
store closing forever. Liquidation to the public at the former Linens and More in Warren. Laptops now $69. Dell, HP, Toshiba, Compaq, Apple, more laptops from $69. Tablets $49. Thousands of bargains now $5. Clothes $5. Shoes $5. Jewelry $5. Brand name perfume and cologne $5. Designer purses $5. Even PS3, Xbox, Wii, more games from $5. Store closing forever. This Friday, noon to 9. Saturday, 10 to 9. This Sunday, 11 to 6. At the former Linens and More store, 2230 Niles Cortland Road, Southeast Warren, next to Kohl's in Eastwood Mall Complex.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Workers like the ones with me here today.
It might seem crazy,
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I need for somebody to tell me what in the world is going on with the gas prices here in the Mahoning Valley and across the country. I don't know about you, but I am not happy with gas going up. I just saw a posting with somebody saying in some places all the regular is all the way up to like $3.81. Can you please explain? Hey, Eric, what's your gas price out there in Warren? Hello? Oh, well. Diva?
It depends on where you go down here. Around the corner, it's $3.75.
Ooh-wee, what is going on?
Yeah, and tell me about it. And I'm about to go on the road, come to Youngstown this weekend. So,
are you coming
luckily,
to see
I got
us, huh?
A little Ford Escape hybrid.
Oh. So you're running on battery? Or?
Yes. No, yeah. I've been pushing on my battery for a while. Like, I let it go down to a quarter tank. And I got to fill up to get on the road, but driving around the city, I can let it go down to a quarter tank, and that'll let me go for about a week.
So is your hybrid gas gas versus electric or battery?
It's gas and electric.
So do you have to plug it in?
No. No, it's battery powered.
Okay. Okay. And so you're coming home this weekend?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to be here Monday morning with us?
Yes, I will.
Come on in. Do you know where we're located?
Huh? Yes.
You know
I've been there before.
Okay. Yes. Make sure you stop in Monday, and we can actually really have a blast. And I'll make sure that Jeff and them don't beat you up too bad in studio.
Jeff might. You might have to worry about me when Jeff leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. you said you were 5 foot two.
I'm 5 foot three. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to do. I don't use my hands.
Did you see the posting about Tyler Perry and them criticizing him celebrating single mothers or talking about single mothers?
No, I haven't been on Facebook. So I didn't see that. But as a single mother, I don't know. I don't care about being glorified or whether you give me acknowledgement because me being a single mother, for one, it was not something I asked for or planned for. It only came about because of a divorce. But I don't need accolades because the only thing that puts a smile on my face is my daughter's happiness.
But my question to you is, as a single mom, gas in California is $4.20.
Oh.
Ooh, no, that's mean. What I don't understand about, you know, I understand that things happen and people have, you know, children out of wedlock. People get divorced. It happens. But why do we keep on making the same thing happen if you know that you have a situation? I mean, you haven't gone out and had another child. Why not?
Oh, no. I'm not.
Why not?
I don't want to take care of two babies on my own with two different
fathers.
No.
Why not?
That's just not me. That's just something that I don't think that that's, how can I say, I don't want to judge anybody else, but that's just when I look at myself being a single mom with multiple babies, with multiple baby daddies, that's just not me. My mom didn't do that. My mom didn't raise us that way. All of my sisters, all of us have the same father. And
my
mom always thought to be going out and doing that, having children by different men and being with different men like that.
So why don't we do that more often? I mean, why don't we? I mean, you look at. I mean, how do you have four children, and none of them have the same dad, or two of them have the same dad?
Because one, I would say two reasons. One, you can come across a young lady who just don't care. It's something within her mental instability. Now, I'm not gonna say mental illness, but she's searching for something. And
okay,
she's looking for it, and she can't get it with one man, so she gets it with another man. And some women think that these babies going to make the man stay, even though the first one didn't. Secondly, you do have some parents who talk to their daughters, but the daughters just don't listen. They're going to do what they want to do. And it goes back to the place of the woman.
What'd you say, Eric?
Well, see, there's many women who've been married in their early 20s, got a divorce.
I understand that. But how do you, I mean,
and
I know
right,
people.
So. Now, I understand what you're talking about. they should be more committed and not go around that. But the things are situational. And when a woman has men by different men, like I say again, everything is situational because people can get more, so her husband can die, things of that nature. But I agree with y'all, this outlandishly going, not having a long commitment with a guy, of course. Of course,
no,
everybody wants
to. You don't necessarily have to have a long-term commitment. Just don't have four babies and three baby daddies. You
I
know,
mean, that's
yes,
the problem
you
right
get,
there.
Like, I'm dating. If we get married, of course we might want to have a child. So, yes, I'm going to have another child with a different man, but that's different than just me laying on my back and popping out babies with different men and hoping these men would stay.
And there's a sure epidemic of women who are doing just what Diva just said. And so when we talk about the celebration of single moms should be celebrated because they do a phenomenal job. Those that are responsible, but we have a whole breed out there who are irresponsible, and by the time they find responsibility, their kids are not groomed as they should be.
Exactly.
And as I said a couple days ago, and I really want you guys to understand, you don't find a whole lot of young black males or young boys. I'm not going to say black. Erase that. You don't find a whole bunch of men sleeping in their mama's basements. When there's a father upstairs that's a responsible man.
Right, but see, this situation, I agree with you. See, it's not taboo anymore for a single mother. And there are some cases, I would never say, there's some cases where a woman will get with a man. Some, she may be in her early 40s and just, you know, she's been on her own for a while and she just want to have that baby. She just really don't want to have a man around her. May it be a fear. So some women out there may just want to have a baby and don't visualize being in that home with that man.
And that's foolish. That is
okay, hold on.
Having said that. But no. I'm saying, I just want to say this real quick. Having said that, when you find any relationship of a single mother or a single father, it's both the men and the woman's part. I do not put the more onus on not either the man or the woman. And I'm just saying, if both parents are taking care of the child, and even though the parents are not together, that's not a single parent.
I'm
a single father. No. I'm divorced. I have joint legal and physical custody of my kids. I'm not a single father.
But that's not
my
kids
different. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I'm my kid. Even though I'm divorced, and me and my ex-wife are not together, I don't consider myself a single father. I consider
but
a single mother.
You're not listening.
Father
you're not listening to what we're saying.
We're talking about, see, there are women out there who are single mothers, and they're perpetual. I mean, if I have a baby at 14, I shouldn't have done that, bad idea. And then I have another baby at 15, worse idea. Okay, I got another baby at 17 and 18, so now I got four.
I know a young lady who's 37, and she has five kids, and the youngest is seven, And this young lady got into a relationship with a married man. She didn't know he was married until she got pregnant the first time. That's when he told her that he was married and for her to get rid of the baby, which she did. Now, she continued in a relationship, and she popped out two more kids hoping to draw this man from his wife. Now, this woman already had three kids by two other men. So now she has five kids with three different men and purposely try to destroy marriage in the process.
Yeah,
we
now
have
what kind
women
of family dynamic
like,
is that?
I'm sorry?
I said, now what kind of family dynamic is that?
That's
crazy.
What I'm saying. That's what
I'm
saying.
Rampant. That is rampant. Whether the man is married or not, that is rampant. That's how ratchet some of these young females are.
Well, maybe it's something because of the concept that we have out in our atmosphere. Like, I've heard this in the past. I don't need no man for nothing. That type of concept may be one of the reasons. I can't say, but psychologically,
Marilyn,
why do people do that?
But you want to listen to what I'm saying. There's one thing for me to have a baby and not want a man. It's another for me to have a whole bunch of babies by a whole bunch of men and then say I don't want a man and then raise those children and can't afford the children that I have. I'm not going to get into the morality of, you know, having babies out of wedlock. But I have an issue if you know you can't feed the one you're with, why would you go make another one?
Yeah,
ooh, hello?
The situation that Diva just described, yeah, that's just that just can't end well. If you look at why her motives and why she was doing what she was doing, trying to break up a marriage, come on, man.
And it happens every day. I mean,
well, see, in that case, I don't look.
And she stopped raising these five babies on Section 8 in welfare. And she
So the image that you get inside of other and other cultures is that you have a bunch of all you do is breed babies, but you don't take care of them. Now I'm not talking about the single mom who raises the child who they got divorced or they got widowed or whatever happens. That stuff happens every day of the week, and we applaud those women. And those women work two and three jobs. And they do whatever's necessary to make ends meet for the children, and they raise those kids the best of their ability. That's wonderful.
Raise a woman who was in a committed relationship, and after the children born, the relationship ended. I mean,
and it happens. But my question is, how do you have five children with four different baby daddies, and then you want to tell me that all of them were a mistake, and you don't take care of them, and then you wonder why you get mad because people are that don't you are on the government assistance, and we don't want to pay for them.
She'll say, I'm a bad choice of men.
Hey, listen, there's a guy in the chat room. He just says, what about the NFL player Antonio Comateri, who has 10 children by 8 different women?
Wow.
Whoa. That's nasty.
I wish them guys would stop doing that. I'm getting tired of them brothers doing that.
But the women have to take part responsibility.
That's 8 different households he has to feed. That's crazy.
But let me say this to you. Hold on, guys. Now, let me say this to you. And, again, I don't agree with that. Nobody having – because, see, I have a problem when fathers are not fathers and mothers are not mothers. I have a major issue with that. And I come from my natural father was not there. So I'm speaking from experience. So what I'm saying is, I got a major problem when daddy is not there, not even part time. I got issues with that.
Yeah.
And though I've had great
his life that he's living and the fact that he can't be a father for those kids. He can present a trade check once a month, but I mean he can't be a real father for these children.
But how much responsibility goes towards these females who know that these men have all these kids, and they allow themselves to get pregnant, and then they cry about the situation that comes. Because I dated a guy when I first moved here. I went on a date with a guy. Turns out he has five children with three different women, none of them his wife. That was the last time I went out with him.
I met a brother not too long ago. He told me he's a nice young man. He told me he had 10 kids.
Wow.
He was only like 37 years old. I was like, huh? Are you kidding me?
No. I wouldn't let him anywhere near me with a 10-foot pole.
I got a guy who I went to school with, I grew up with, and he told me he had something like something crazy like that, too, and he was proud of his kids and his grandkids. And I'm like, dude, you didn't raise all them babies.
No.
My dad, my father, my biological father, has 12 children. He has three with my mother.
Oh, great master.
Oh, children with, I
you
think,
go ahead, Diva.
With about five women, and three of them he'd been married to. So
Wow.
But I'm just saying, and the number 347-945-5229, Eric just walked in. Eric Wells just walked in. He's in the studio with me.
Morning. Hi.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, I applaud Tyler Perry, and don't get me wrong, the movie's probably very, very good, and mothers, single moms, they need to have support. They need to support one another, and it is a good thing. But I wanted to bring this conversation up because it makes people think about what you're doing. And see, and when it comes to black folks, we get looked at in stereo. And so what we see on television is a bunch of single baby mamas. But there's some single moms out there who raised some great children, like my mom. Because I think I'm great, and my mama did the best thing she could with me. But she didn't go out and have a whole bunch more and have me, too.
Right.
And she didn't go on public assistance trying to make everybody else take responsibility for her lifestyle.
I want to applaud you, Diva, for not wanting to go back out with that guy because, you know, with his morality, you would have quite likely ended up in the same boat in this, you know, in that quagmire, and you sound like you're too young to deal with something like that. You know, you've got your whole life ahead of you, number one. Number two, when you deal with that kind of people, you tacitly endorse their morality. You're only as good as the people you associate with. And that being said, I really commend you for the maturity you showed, for the circumspect of clear-headedness. And what makes it sad is in this society, what makes it sad is I shouldn't have to commend you. It should be expected.
Of everyone.
Exactly. And but for you to do that, it's a breath of fresh air. It really is a breath of fresh air. I commend you. I'm just saying that your maturity, your morality, your powers of circumspect and clear-headedness should be a lot more the norm than the exception. I'm afraid it's not anymore.
Hey, 626, I think that's Covina. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, it is Covina. Yeah, I just before I make my statement, is everybody on the phone black? Or is it some white folks on the phone? Okay.
No.
Okay, now I can say what I want. No?
They're all
okay,
black.
Okay, good. Okay, I can say what I want. Black folks, the reason why the situation is where black folks is majorly dysfunctional, it just comes back to we are dysfunctional as black folks. Those seeds have been planted generations ago. Of why right now we're bloomed, we're matured, the fruit is bearing. That's the fruit of that years and generation of abuse that we've been through and all the circumstances that's followed. It just be dysfunctional. You can't really isolate one particular person and say, why is this person that way? Because that one person, it's 50 of those people. It's 100 of those people, male or female. Cromarty have all these women, baby mamas. He probably grew up in a circumstance where that was looked to as that was a thing to do. You're supposed to have all these notches on your belt, right? And you're supposed to go out and have all these women, and women are so receptive because they know if I get pregnant by a baller, I can go to the court and hit the lottery, and so. And the women are sitting in there, you know, sitting in the ghetto somewhere with four babies and three different baby daddies. They're mentality. They know that they can go out there and have these kids. There is no financial repercussion. There's a financial reward, whether that is I don't have to be homeless, I don't have to live over somebody else's house, I get the government, I get the Section 8, I get the government check, I get food stamps, I get all this. My kids get medical insurance, and everything is taken care of. She's just supported. Why would they want to break that system? There's nothing in us. We're dysfunctional. There's nothing in us that makes us want to say, we're going to change this mentality because it's not working. Because it's working for every individual that's doing that.
Can I ask you a question? The system doesn't care about you. I will give you that. You are right. And they don't care about what color you are. They don't care about you as long as you're not participating inside of their system. But we are, and I got upset not too long ago with some people because I said to them, somebody said to me that they were teaching in a diversity class that it is our culture to go out and just make babies, and the men just don't, they make them, but they don't take care of them. And I was infuriated because I could not believe that they were teaching that diversity class to people and saying that that was the culture of black people. And then I found out it is our new culture.
But, I mean, I would have to say.
Well, no,
hold on, Diva. Hold on, guys. Hold on. It is our new culture because we are. If you look around inside of our family units, you see that happening where we are just becoming something that you would have never thought. And we blame it on the system. But it's not the system that was in my house that allowed somebody else to take over. It was me being apathetic and or chasing a dollar bill, not taking care of my family as I should. That caused
like
it.
I say all the time, man.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Because I've got to go through the – I want everybody to speak on this. I am responsible for my own body and for what is around me. And when I give my responsibility over to someone else – then I have to take ownership of what I've done. And I did it to myself. See, I raised that boy to become a mama's boy and not to take care of his responsibility because I didn't want him to do nothing at home because he was too cute. I'm the one who allowed my daughter to be promiscuous and didn't teach her what she needed to know. That's my fault, and I need to take ownership of that.
Yeah, if you watch Maury Povich, it is rampant in black America.
It's rampant all over America. It just looks more in black America. It looks more rampant in black America is because we show black America, but it's happening in white America and brown America. It's happening all over America. And as I've said before, African Americans are the test pilot for people control.
Yep.
I mean, you have a show dedicated to telling mothers who their baby's daddy is. So we got a problem.
And you go to 4 or 5 baby daddies and ain't none of them daddy? What does that say? And that comes from a father not being in the home or a strong man not being in the home and instilling self-esteem into that young lady. That's why she lays down like a roadmap.
And then when she finally realizes that her MO is all wrong and the people she was really attracted to really could care less, I mean, don't give a flying flip about her. Then she'll find a nice guy and then take it out on him for the rest of his life. No thanks.
And not only that, hold on. Eric, I'm going to let you in. Marilyn, I'm going to let you in. But not only that, if you look at what's really going on with this and when you talk about ballers, remember, I go after the baller for the check. There are young women who go to college looking for a man to have a baby by so that she can have a lifelong child support check. You got to understand, we've got mothers right now who don't teach their children because they want them to have ADHD, get them an IEP so that they can have a long life term of SSI.
That is some – I just wonder about the mentality of people who go to those types of lengths of fire. It's just mind-boggling. It is crazy.
But it's real.
Somebody at one point you're going to sit and when Baltimore's talking about the community, I'm like, okay, yeah, that was the culture of my family. My mother has seven sisters. Most of them have 3 or 4 children by 2 different men. But my mother, who is the 7th of those girls, who is almost next to the youngest, looked at that and said, that is crazy. That I don't want. I don't want that for my daughters. And so she taught us, you don't do that. So I'm just like, at some point, somebody got to say, I'm not going to do that. So when does the personal responsibility comes in and say, just because such and such do it, just because Waukesha down the block did it, and it looked like it's going for her, don't mean you got to do it. Don't mean it's going to work
you don't,
for
but
me.
We don't, but right now on television, we glorify it. Right now we're teaching babies how to have sex and twerk at the age of two. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Marilyn,
that's why they can't get upset about the morning after pill, then. I just want to say something. I hear what you're saying, and it's about single mothers, but I must say again, all of us on this phone, if we ever been in a relationship and if it broke up, it was our fault and the other person's fault. We just can't blame it on ourselves. We just can't blame it on them. We broke up because we weren't meant for each other. Tracy, you're leaving the point, and I want us to bring it together this year because I'm defining women, and people saying women laying on their back. When that woman lays on her back, a man is on top of her. It's both. And what I'm saying is I hear a lot of
women. I am the gatekeeper.
Exactly.
See, you don't understand. A man is, I don't mean no disrespect and no disparagement to any man. But the man, listen to what I'm saying. A man will lay down with a dog. A man is a man. I am the keeper of the gate. And if you want to see America erect and become a better America, if women start closing their legs and putting clothes on and making men respect them, a man will do anything to get what she's got inside of her gate.
Amen.
I can have more respect for me to not have sex with an ugly 600-pound woman. I'm a man.
Did you miss my point?
I'm just listening to me out, Tracy. I got boys listening to me. I will never tell my son if he's – a lot of men go around and says, well, if the man ejaculates in the woman and if she decides to have it and the man don't want it, it's all on her. No, I will tell my son, you are a man when you get older. You know when you ejaculate in that woman, and when you do that, you're giving her the power. And
you're wrong. A woman is the one who holds the power, and she does not understand that. That's why we look. That's why we're around there saying TNA everywhere, and we're raising little prostitutes. Remember, you have to understand. Listen, what I'm saying. If you look at what's going on in our society today, we are not teaching our women that they have a gate that they're supposed to guard, and they should hold in their high esteem what they have, and they should not give it away to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. We don't teach that because a man will do whatever's necessary to get in the gate if she knows how to hold the gate closed.
And if you're going to, wrap it up, people. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, I hear that. That's simple there, what Diva just said. I mean, I don't get that.
Put on a raincoat. But with the raincoat, women need to take protection.
Not just men, but women, too. You pop in all these babies. Okay, the first, the second one, I get. But 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, come on now. Birth control is so cheap now, it makes no sense whatsoever. They have so many different kinds. It makes no sense. Oh, I don't do well on the pill. Well, okay, they have Depo. Oh, I don't like shots. Okay, well, they have the IUD. Well, I don't want something up in my uterus have the Noraplan. Quit making excuses. Okay, well, if you can't stand birth control, then don't have sex.
It's insane. I don't see how it takes a man and a woman to bring a child in the world, and anybody can look at that situation and blame it and say it was more the woman's fault. Stop.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, boss. I'm not saying it's more the woman's fault. You cannot complain about the man walking away from you because you're not in a relationship with this man, and you get pregnant, and you end up a single mother, that's on you. I'm not saying a father has no responsibility to his child, because he does. But a woman ending up a single mother with a man who gave her no commitment, no real commitment, no loyalty, no ties, no nothing, and you allow yourself to get pregnant. That's on you.
When people get married and divorced, they thought they was going to have a commitment.
Marriage and divorce are different, Pianchi.
I know that because we're not talking about one-night stands. But listen to me, though. I agree with you, but there is no buts. Hold it. There's no buts. When a child walks on this earth, it took a man and a woman to do that, right? Now,
right.
If they break up, and that man pays his child support, and he spends time. She's not a single mother. because both of them, they're communicating. She's coming back.
No,
I agree with that. Okay, so what I'm saying is that man that did not know that woman well, I have sons, and I will never raise my sons with this mentality back here out today because we have to question the concepts that we have. If he has to decide who he wants to lay down, if a woman gets horny for him or horny for me or anybody, she wants us, and she wants us, and I'm quite sure you think you have something good to offer her too. It's just that simple. So when a child comes into this world, it's both responsibilities.
Right. I'm not speaking on the fact that whose responsibility it is to the child. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is the fact
right.
that you have women who made poor decisions who want to be glorified in their poor decision-making. You are a single mother, and you have four children by three different men, but yet you want some type of pat on your back. Why?
Who chose that woman? That man glorified and chose
that
woman.
No, Buckhorn, you're missing the point.
You're missing the point, Pianki.
I mean, not Pianki. I keep calling you Pianki, Baltimore. You're missing the point, Baltimore. And the reason why that is because we're not talking about who's responsible for the child. That's not what we're saying.
Why not?
Because
that's
not the topic of conversation. The topic of conversation is dealing with the mentality and psyche of a woman who has multiple children with multiple men, but wants to be applauded for it.
Right, but I'm saying who can make that woman applaud? Men who don't stick with them, men who would choose the wrong women.
Okay, but the fact is, hold on,
Bianca,
come on, let's get real.
What is
a lot of these men, a lot of these so-called men, are not giving these women hints and signals. I mean, there's red flags to when a man wants you and when he doesn't. When a man wants you, he wants you. He'll make you his. And if he doesn't, he's going to play games, run around on you, do all kinds of stuff. You have women who know this, Baltimore, and they still allow themselves to get caught up and have a baby by a man who they know is not going to stay there, who is not going to stick around. Whose fault is that?
It happens all the time.
That is hers. You don't have a baby with a man you know you're not going to stick around, and then you want us to applaud you for it. For what? That was your decision. That was your choice. Now, somebody who was married and ended up in divorce, that's completely different. And your husband decides he wants to walk away, have no part, and you stuck, and this was not your plan, I applaud you 100% for keeping your head up, keeping your feet moving forward, and doing what you got to do. But someone who knows that the situation ain't right and popping out all these babies with different men, I'm sorry, I cannot respect that.
Hello,
Aminti.
Oh, I didn't know you could hear me. I want to make a comment. I don't want to interrupt, but I want to make a comment.
Oh, I'm done. You go. Go ahead.
After I have this baby, I'm tying my tubes and I'm shutting the baby factory down. Let's first get that out the way, okay? I'm not taking no birth control. I'm not taking none of that because I find that stuff, for me, I never felt comfortable with it, and it's just not healthy. That's just my personal opinion. I'm tying my tubes, and I'm shutting the baby factory down. That's it. After number three. I want to also add that we have to be careful what we say about people who have different babies with different fathers. Because it's not always that the woman is out here walking around just having different babies. We know women like that. And I can say the women that I've known like that had drug problems. Or they were just promiscuous and they were being careless. Because some people, they fall in love fast. They wear their heart on their sleeves, unfortunately. And that becomes their situation. I have a cousin. She has four sons and she has three different baby fathers. Well, her situation, she was 15 with the first one. So she was with that father. That didn't work out. She raised the second son that she had with another man. They were together. They had a house together, everything. That didn't work out. So now her last relationship, she had her two sons. So there's three different baby fathers. But for her, of course, being family, I would say to her, she should want to get married. You know, that should be her goal. That, you know, any man she's with right now, she should want to settle down and get married, being that we're the same age. So I don't quickly judge people who have different baby fathers and all this stuff. as far as relationship, that can go on such a whole nother level, because you could be in a great relationship with someone, and that baby come, and everything turns around. You know, babies change things. Babies change people, and that's life. You could look at somebody and realize, I don't want to be with this person no more, or whatever. Some people are shallow. You know, you don't look the same. You don't got the nice body anymore. They want to leave you. You know, this is what comes with it. I don't think all the time. There's people that they have a baby, they want to get along, and they still try to work it out, and they actually do. So, you know, life turns around the way that it does. And I understand where you're coming from, Diva, and what everybody else is saying, but it's like I think sometimes people are quick to judge and point fingers and not really know. And the only person, like I said, well, here comes.
Okay. I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank Eric. He just came in, and he's hanging out with me for the last hour and a half. I guess he found out I was home alone, and so I'm here. I think Jeff is on the phone. And, Amincy, I'm glad you came in with that.
Morning,
and
Jeff. Oh, sorry.
Jeff's not in. He's not up yet.
Oh.
And I have to say, I'm very, very glad for Amincy to drop in, because, and I'm not demonizing all single moms. That's not the goal. But what I am saying is we are in a society right now where we are breeding an amoral culture. And this amoral culture is showing you the manifestation of chaos. And anytime there's chaos, there's no order. And when there's no order, there's no morality, nor is there – there's no God. There's no nothing. And you cannot live in, I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember Get Smart, chaos could never win no matter what. You can never get anything out of chaos. And if you look at what's going on inside of our communities, we are losing on the socioeconomic status. We're losing on the morality status. We're losing everywhere because we have no system of getting anything done. So we're not being educated. We're not educating our own. We're not taking care of our own. As a matter of fact, we are eating our children, and we're allowing them to be raised. We take better care of our dogs than we do our kids, our children.
But it goes to the mentality of somebody didn't do it for me, somebody wasn't there for me, so why should I? I've heard that so much within the African-American community living in Youngstown. Breaks my heart. Well, somebody didn't do it for me, somebody didn't. Like when I was struggling with the fact that in the beginning my daughter's father was not being an active role in her life, I was told plenty of times, you know how many females go without, I mean kids go without their daddy? Just accept it. Why? Why just accept that? But
and
you
really
have a mentality
right.
of people perpetuating, it didn't happen for me, it wasn't good for me, so I'm not going to, hey, you can't have that, you shouldn't have that, you shouldn't have better than what I had.
And it's just sad. I mean, we need to understand. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Go ahead, Amincy. I've got to bring in Mike and Jeff. Go ahead.
I promise it'll be quick. You know, it takes a level of maturity and paying attention. I've had that situation. I was, like, so-called a single mom for maybe a year or two when me and my daughter's father had broke up the first time. But it took me to sit back one day and really listen to what he had to say about his situation and how he felt. A lot of, you see this on 16 and pregnant. A lot of times the guy feels isolated when that baby is born. Nobody talks about that. It's a lot of things that the other young guys, especially in men period, when they have their baby, it's like their baby is taken from them. The mother takes the baby. You understand what I'm saying? Or the situation is.
Listen what I'm saying. The problem is I don't have an older person teaching me how to deal with my husband when I have a baby.
Very true.
See, we need to understand, and because we don't have that mentorship, we don't have that education, it all goes back to knowledge, because if you don't have any knowledge, you'll never go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know
That's
how, because men are very, very fragile. For
yes.
as strong as they are, it is as fragile as they are. And we need to know how to balance that baby and that man so he doesn't feel isolated and I give all my attention to that child.
And it takes a boy to teach a father.
But hold on,
it
wait, that's what I'm saying, Tracy. He said to me, he went off. He said, who taught me how to be a man? You know, who? My mother and father, nobody helped me. No one was there for me. I felt the same exact way. And we lived in their home. So I know exactly what you're saying, but what I'm saying is when these situations happen, the woman is always talking. The woman is saying how she feels, but you never really hear what the guy is feeling, what the young man is feeling. I'm not taking away from anybody, but I had to take the time to humble myself and listen to what he was saying. I'm like, goodness, I felt the same way, and I didn't even think about how you were feeling because all the women was in my ear, like, he needs to be doing this, he needs to be doing that, and no one was teaching him, and that's all I'm saying.
And what I'm saying is we need to understand, and this is where I say the disconnect from the church that's always closed, that opens on Sunday for 2 hours a week. They don't actually teach you these kinds of things. Because when you are inside of in a relationship with someone, you need to know, and especially with a black man has a different world outside of the house than a white man, and we need to know how to deal with his frailties as well as with his strengths, so that we can build a relationship. And then he needs to deal with my emotional issues. Because before I left, we were talking about angry black women. The reason why I'm angry is because black men don't know how to support me. The reason why he doesn't know how to support me is because he's never been taught. Yeah, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, to add to what Amenti was saying, I think that's the problem with something she said at the end. She said everybody was in her ear. I think when that baby is born, everybody needs to step back and let that man and that woman work this out. How do you think Adam and Eve did it? They didn't get my grandmama, aunties, cousins, old girlfriends, get back. Stay away.
You have to set boundaries with people because if you act like a doormat, people will treat you accordingly.
But let me say this: people in your ear is not one. People in your ear is one thing. People in your heart is another.
Yes.
Yeah. Let mommy and daddy figure it out.
Because Eric, let me say it this way: I needed to learn from someone how to deal with a man if I've never seen anyone deal with a man.
Well,
does that make sense?
Well, once again, reason why we have a lot of concepts are just not true. And if you listen to what you're saying, men are emotional.
You missed my point.
So people, because these concepts like men are less emotional than women. No, we all as human beings are emotional, but we act it out in different ways. We all get emotion. I'm letting you know, a man can get sad, a man can get frustrated, but he may act it out in a different way. He may ball it up, but it's going to come out. So we act it out in different ways, Tracy.
The woman and the child need to bond together. I mean, all the outside forces needed to step back and let them do their thing.
But I need to have a man I need to have a man that is committed to me. And remember, we don't teach commitment anymore.
Here's a great example.
We don't even teach how to love anymore. And going back again, Tracy, I share this story a lot because I learned so much, and it was so much crap we went through, and it even got physically abusive because it was so much going on and everybody was in our ear. And I had to step back and realize, like, you know, you if you're not mature, I guaranteed you so many relationships, young relationships as ours, probably separated because family members was all in their business. And, you know, this is something else that has to stop in the community. You know, these women telling these young girls to just put him on child support,
don't go that far out because you change the subject.
In your ear, it would be up to me as the man in the relationship to tell these people, hey, you know what? This is none of your business. This doesn't concern you. Are you contributing? Are you putting any food on the table? That's my job as the man to be out there providing, you know, doing what needs to be done as the real and de facto head of household. No one that's going to be in my wife's ear or my baby's baby's mama's ear, dictating the cadence of how she interacts with me. That's probably why I don't have anybody, because I take such a hard line. I'm not willing to make that concession.
See, this is the issue.
Not at all.
But you still need to have people, and I'm talking about as you're being raised. Not before you get. See, you need to have information before you get into a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you have to have critical thinking as you are in a relationship, so you know how to chew the meat and spit out the bones.
I've
and what's happening is we have no information coming anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what.
Men are not men, and women are not women, and we wonder why we cannot cohabitate
well,
anymore.
Well, if a woman's going to deal with me and she's getting her information off of people that I tend not to want to deal with, then it's not going to work right then and there because I'm not going to tell her that in my home.
The question is, are you going to make a baby with her? You got to look at the whole – I know we're in a relationship with people that we don't even like and we're making babies with.
Not even being in a relationship, but just having sex with people that we don't want to be with and making babies.
And that's a man, and that's the man's fault and the woman's fault. Because he has to choose who he ejaculates himself in. Exactly. Thank you, sir. Just keep it like that.
But again, a woman has to choose.
Someone has more responsibility, that's the wrong concept.
Marilyn, Marilyn, from the beginning of time.
It's not.
From the beginning of time.
How can you say it's more?
Listen to what I'm saying. From the beginning of time, women have been a guard of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where men understood that their seed was sacred.
You got to understand the power that women have over
you're
men.
You're telling me, Tracy, right now as a man, I do not have a power to not ejaculate in a woman. Come on, let's be real
you,
now.
Marilyn, sweetie.
Marilyn,
listen, you don't have to
kick
it. You're
sorry,
not listening.
I'm sorry.
What'd you say, Eric?
There was a time when a man understood that his seed was sacred and he was very careful where he planted it. That's not around anymore.
But Eric,
exactly.
Would you attest to me, and I want to, because me and Marilyn are having this disagreement.
Okay.
The power that women have
mm-hmm.
over men, if we understood who we are,
mm-hmm.
it is amazing.
You have to understand that everything you need, you know, you mentioned God a few minutes ago, everything you need is in that book.
But everything you need is in a woman. And a man seeks after that.
No. Everything you need is in that book. And in that book calls for a complementarity, the complementarian view of the man and the woman in the relationship.
So
a man is also another kind of guardian. Let me expound on that a little bit. Now, the story of the Garden of Eden carries a deep moral implication. As the man, you are to guard the garden.
Right.
You are both enjoined to dress the garden and to keep it, your surroundings. Okay? Now the serpent tempted the woman.
Why did he go to her first?
Exactly.
And what did she do?
She came. Yeah, she capitulated to that.
And where did she go?
The whole conversation was brought down.
No. She ate, but she gave to her man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did eat also.
Yeah, he played into that mess.
So why is it every time a man follows a woman, he goes down? Can you ask
because the woman is wisdom. That's why. The woman is wisdom.
A woman
can bring a situation to you that you don't see. A woman can see, okay, babe, you know, something's not right here. Or she can, you know, something as simple as leaving bags, collecting bags and recycling them can be useful. Little stuff like that, you know. Woman is wisdom. That's what
she's
saying.
And let me say this. And what I'm saying to Marilyn, I mean, yeah, man is strong. But the power, the manipulation, I mean, women manipulate men all day long, and it's not good. We should not be manipulative, but we need to understand the power that we have over men. And when women were more guards of the gate, and when I say guards of the gate, I'm talking about the fraternal gate, what makes babies.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be that sexually charged. But if a woman were to start closing down the gate, and not opening it up to everybody, and women would do this in unison. You would see men go get a job. You would see them start taking care of families. You would start seeing them do a whole other thing because they thrive, and they're hunter-gatherers. And when you no longer can gather to hunt, they change to adapt to get what they want.
But the reason why women aren't doing this is because we're told in the African-American community, in the inner-city communities where this is so rampant, where I've seen it so much, that the way to get that man and to keep that man is to get pregnant because great-grandmama did it in the 60s and it worked for her. But, see, there's a new breed of boys perpetrating as men who ain't buying into that. And the reason why they're not buying into it is because they don't have to. One, we have abortion. Two, we have social services. So he don't have to stick around. And then there's nobody who is holding him accountable, really.
So abortion is the new black genocide.
Who said that? Wait a minute. Who said that? I'm sorry.
Who said what? Amenti, what are you saying?
I,
what did you say? Hold on. Amenti, we don't know what you're talking about. What are you saying?
No, I'm responding to her. She said in the African-American community, we're told the way to keep a man is by getting pregnant. I'm just
Absolutely.
Shocked. Like, I mean, oh, I've never heard that one.
Absolutely. Not only do we keep a man, not only do we actually hold on. That's not actually do we put it into our heart that because I want you to have my baby. I want to have a baby with you, and if you love me, you'll sleep with me.
How about the latest episode of the game? Tasha Mack is pregnant and doesn't know if it belongs to Pookie from Richmond or Rick Fox. I mean, that kind of thing is that's a tacit advertisement.
Boardman frame.
Because that's a television show that has a wide following. And, you know, stars like that are looked up to. You know, they don't.
Yeah, some, yeah.
They're not
yeah,
under any implied moral dictum, let alone a specified.
I look at it like this. I mean, something is wrong when you're having sex with two different men when you're ovulating at the same. That's gross to me. That's nasty.
Well, most women don't really know when they're ovulating because there's so much misinformation about our reproductive cycles that. You have to actually know your body for yourself, and you have
I know when I'm ovulating, Diva.
I know when I'm ovulating.
Hold on, listen, guys. Listen, guys. Let me say this: most people are not in tune with their bodies that much. You think? Because remember, you're talking about a mindset of people who they just want to go have sex, and they don't understand what the difference between ovulating and having sex. So they just go out there, and it's like rabbits. So we need to be honest
no
with
protection.
That.
No
and
protection.
Again, and no protection. They don't. The only time they go to the OBGYN is when they go
when they're pregnant.
And find out they're pregnant.
It's Tracy. It's not just black women, Diva.
That's
honey,
true.
It's white women being told trap them with a baby. It's white women. Hey, is this Octomom who's out there? Would someone help me? And this is an honest question, okay? Because I don't know. Is she black or white?
She crazy.
I don't know. She looked like I don't know. I don't know. She mixed with something.
Yeah, but no, I'm not because I'm not trying to go down the race road. What I'm trying to say is people of all color are screwed up in this society right now. It's got nothing to do with color anymore. It's become culture. And the gentleman in your studio, Tracy, forgive me, I keep forgetting his first name.
Eric.
He speaks so Eric, thank you. Eric, you speak
thank
so
you,
eloquently,
sir.
But I just want to say something to Covina Man, if I may. I could agree with Covina Man, except for the unfortunate truth of history. That from 1920, and I've looked at the numbers, 1920, 30, 40, 50s, and into the 60s, black families were the most stable family units in the United States, more so than white families. It was the great society, is what I believe. Eric, and if you want to share on this, I'd appreciate hearing your point of view. They ought to call the great society the evil empowerment, because Diva was right. When it became about money, and you could get money for bad behavior, because in our society we chase money most of the time as our status symbol and what it can do for us. When you can get money for any kind of behavior, that's what you enforce. That's why the government has tax loopholes and tax write-offs and all that. It's the government trying to shape social behavior. Well, you can also shape social behavior for bad things, too.
And they're doing very good at it.
Yeah, and the Great Society really is the evil empowerment because it allowed bad behavior to be rewarded financially.
I think if
Amen.
Abortion
was,
and I don't want to get into who votes how, but I think that if abortion was not so commonplace in our society, we wouldn't have this problem. I've come across too many women who say, who have careless sex, men too, who say, oh, she can just go get an abortion. Oh, I can just go get an abortion. Mm-hmm. No, how about you just either be careful? If you're going to engage in reckless behavior, be responsible.
You know, if you're going, any woman,
been around
especially
for a long time,
in the Afro-American community, any woman that is pro-abortion, if you support abortion, you have no idea what you're really tacitly validating. Because I'm going to tell you what, go back, get on YouTube one time, or you read up on some of the perspectives of Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood. She was no less genocidal, no less a eugenicist than Adolf Hitler. Here's the statistical breakdown. In upwards of 500,000 black babies are aborted every year in this country without fail. Black people are about 13% of the U.S. population. They represent nearly 4/10 of abortions performed in this country. So make no mistake, it's a device used by the radical left to control the population. You know, they can't eradicate it directly, so they're going to do the next best thing. It's a covert stratagem used by the liberal left to further subjugate the black body politics.
Women have been, but see, here's the problem, too. Women have been as quiet as kept. Women, even women who was back then having 20 children, those women aborted children.
It
was
slavery.
Wait, not slavery. I'm not going as far as slavery. Because even to this day, secret is secretly in the family, within the family. Other women would tell women in the family, especially with children, and say, I have 5 children, I would have had 10. I would have had this many. Because many of them were getting abortion.
Listen, guys. Prior to birth control, and really understand when I say this, African-American women, they would have miscarriages, not abortions. You have to understand the miscarriage. Hold on, because the neonatal care was not there.
No,
remember, the medicines were not there. And remember, every time a man slept with a woman, there was an act of, there's a probability of her getting, they didn't have condoms. And they didn't have, you know, they tried to do the natural method. It wasn't working. They didn't know nothing about that. They were just trying to please their mate. But prior to, we actually made sex nasty because of the slave owner. See, so there's a lot that went on with that. We didn't have to abort children. They miscarried more children because they were having children so readily. So, I mean, every time they hung their pants up, somebody was pregnant.
And then it wasn't that they were having abortions just because they were being reckless. It was different back then than it is now. I mean, it now is a cultural habit. It's like going to the store and shopping for a purse or new shoes or something. It's disgusting. It's deplorable.
Yeah, but it's got to
every
that
other
point.
Community,
that's
every other ethnicity or group, is numbers are growing, and ours is either staying stagnant or dwindling.
Okay.
We need to also understand that we have gotten to the place now where our children are no longer our product of our own being. It is a product of society. So we actually take our children and we actually give them over to the government. We give them over to someone else to raise because we don't want to take the responsibility of them. And that's our fault. Remember,
yeah.
I go back to our community at large. No one's teaching us how to be parents, how to be in relationship, how to be a mom, how to be a dad. And as Diva said, and when money got involved in this, and it became to where you could make a baby but you couldn't have a man, and the more babies you made, the more money you made.
Mm-hmm.
It became a baby-making business. But there was still a disconnect. And we didn't train our children. People have been having babies for a very long time. And if you go back into it, they were making babies at 13 and 14 because they were getting married at that time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have aunts and uncles who were married at 15 and 16 years old.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were raising their children to get an education. They couldn't read, write, and or have arithmetic. They knew nothing. But they knew how to take care of not only their babies, but the white man's babies, too. And genocide in the black community is very, very real. There is a reason why your seed is locked up in a penitentiary. Do you understand? Men that are inside of a penitentiary cannot come out and be fathers, cannot
there's
come out and be husbands.
There's a reason why you don't have abortion clinics in the rural and suburban communities. You got to travel into the inner city to get an abortion, at least here. There's no women.
In most places, you will always find a Planned Parenthood and an abortion clinic in the inner city. You don't find them in the suburbs. And as a matter of fact, let me say it this way. White girls are having babies. They have money, but they go to the doctor's office because they have small little things that the doctor can do that will abort the baby at a very early stage. That's why you have the morning after pill. Remember, this is all about population control, and you were the pilot program. Black people were the private program for population control. And black people have to wake up and understand that they're out to kill you. And it is political.
Because you are no longer needed. Okay, so gentlemen, ask you a question.
Sure.
Since you guys are not going to ever put it on a man for getting a woman pregnant, if people are not going to stop having sex, some people don't want birth control, don't want them having an abortion. Then if they have the baby, the government taking care of them, what do we do? He's a human being.
Pressure issues.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
We get rid of cash for copulating. That's
let me say this. Let me say this. No, hold on. Let me say this.
I mean, a lot of churches have
Maryland. I am not Maryland. Let me understand. Maryland. Maryland. Listen to what I'm saying. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this. It is the responsibility of the woman to nurture those boys in her home. Those single moms who are raising those young men should not be raising them to be mama's boys, but should be raising them to become the men or the man that she would want to marry her or for her daughters to marry, not the one who becomes a wuss in the basement.
Right.
She should make them man up so that they can become husbands and fathers and responsible young men. And hold on. Hold on. Listen, so the daddy who left her being a single parent, that young man will walk out of that house and say, I'll never let that happen to my family. That's the issue. See, that's what, don't get me wrong, I am not negating the responsibility of the man, but because we have a whole generation of young boys who more than likely have been raised by a single mom, I've got to put the onus on her. Because she raised that no good knucklehead to become a mama's boy who's no good to anyone.
But again, okay. I would have to say when you have when you have when you have again,
on,
I would have to
okay,
say
hold on, Diva, hold on.
Okay, so you have a I'm just talking. So you have a single mama with three kids, 30 years old, right? She's raising her kids. You don't want to get her with another man. Don't have no more sex.
You missed my point.
Try to get a relationship.
You missed my point.
Try to find a father figure for our kids.
You've gone too far.
A lot of no, I'm just saying because
72%
you know,
of African-American children are raised in single-family homes. And if you're going to go out and try to find another person for companionship, you need to be selective. You don't just
That's
bring every
I'm
time.
Saying.
Hold on. You don't bring every time Dick and Harry home and have your kids got more uncles than they got people. You don't let mama should you should never see a man leaving your home that ain't your daddy.
Thank
or
you.
Your stepfather. And what we're doing is we're watching this when our young boys are watching their mamas lay down with people who are not their fathers. They're not even discreet about it anymore.
Yeah,
and
that moral compass is gone. That boundary is gone. Tracy's absolutely correct about that one. That boundary.
Come on. And so my daughter's thinking this is what I'm supposed to do when I get older. It's like smoking cigarettes.
And they reinforce this moral declension in the churches because these so-called churches that were bastions of. Wait a minute. Let me finish. These churches that were once bastions of biblical and catechetical rectitude are celebrating this so-called liberation theology, which is no more, nothing else, and just nothing else, nothing but another device used by the radical left to marginalize, okay, and to celebrate the deterioration of the family, to celebrate the declension from moral standards that were looked upon as timeless and non-negotiable several generations ago.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Wait a minute. Hi, Tracy.
I said Jeff. Hey, Sammy, hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning.
Howdy, Jeff.
I've been agreeing with Diva a whole lot here. It's been awesome.
What did you say?
I said I've been agreeing with Diva.
I can't hear you.
I've been agreeing with Diva a whole
who?
Lot.
Diva. No, you can't be Diva.
Hey, I was in a different city and everything. Right. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone.
Diva, did you hear that?
Yes, I fell off. I fell down.
Okay, just making sure.
Listen, man, what's in a man is not in a woman, and what's in a woman is not in a man. You need both of them to raise a child successfully. Not that he can't be somebody great and good, but it's just that because lots of people have been raised by one parent and do quite well. But you don't have a good balance if you don't have it. What you guys are trying to say, and I guess Paul Ryan got in trouble for saying it, that there's a cultural problem. There's the destruction of America and of the family, and nobody's trying to do anything about it. Okay, men the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and go cleave unto his wife. So don't take it so bad that, or such a negative thing, that a man follows after a woman, because in a sense he's supposed to be there and cleave to his wife, protect her, be with her, share with her, et cetera, et cetera. That's what's
missing.
That's
the ideal.
Yeah, well, that's what's missing.
And it's not. And it's not being taught. We don't see it as
not
being taught.
Nobody knows it. Who knows it? When just like my man says, you have these churches that are paralleling straight down to hell with this liberation theology and this liberal God, or he just loves everybody type of theology. You have no standard. When you cease to have a standard, you have no balance in your life. Standards are balances. They're protections. If you don't have them, you're done.
Hold on. Listen, guys.
Not go over there first wife and
Marilyn, there are more. Y'all know when there's that many people online, you got to wait until the other person finishes. This is not new. Go ahead, Stanley.
Hey, Jeff, I have to say I agree with what Jeff is saying, but I think the biggest problem is what, like I said, like Jeff keep on saying, a mother will never be able to teach her son to be a man, ever, 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 because a mother will teach her son to act a certain way towards a woman that will not benefit the man at all. I saw many guys I know that have been raised by mother. And their manhood's been gone because the mother was either mad against the father and said, I'm going to raise this boy to become a pussy, a wuss. To not be a man at all, to basically counter to everything that the woman has to say. To say, oh, I apologize for being a man. I apologize for being me. I apologize for standing up for me as a man. To accepting any excuse that a woman has to say she's the woman till she's always right.
I'll have to say
you think a man should have a last say in the
match? I don't know about that one.
Do you think a man should have a last say in the match? And I'm sorry, it's only a father who could teach the real reason, the real thing to it.
No, Sally, I'm asking you a question.
Because the mother will never teach her. If you think as a boy and you come to your mother and say, I want to get to know this, she'll tell you how to get that woman, but she'll do it in the mentality that she has as a woman. She
woman,
will not
right.
tell you how to get that woman with the mentality as a man.
Exactly.
And those are two different mentalities. They're not the same.
I have to agree. A woman cannot raise a man to be a man, and it takes a father to show his daughter how a man should relate to a woman.
That's true.
And say what you will for 1950s
television.
Teach
my daughter everything about, I could talk to her about everything under the sun about how a man should treat her, but she also needs to see that.
I agree with you.
I can tell you something from experience. When it comes to my daughter and boys, you can tell a lot by a young man by the way he shakes your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my whole crux is, I think we got away from the original topic, which was glorifying a cultural habit that is destroying our society. I have plenty of people who were with one guy, didn't work out, got with another guy, and they had kids by these two guys, then got another guy and had kids. Okay, I've not been single every day of my life since I've been divorced and separated. You know, I've dated, but I made the choice that unless there was a real commitment there, and not just boyfriend, girlfriend, okay, you call me your girlfriend, I call you my boyfriend, and blah, 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 that I'm going to have a baby by you.
What?
And then I'm going to have a baby by the next. At some point, I got to stop. You got to stop having babies with these men that you are getting in relationships with.
Because, again, you have people who wear their heart on their sleeves, and they don't know any better. And hold on.
And see, that's
you will find, hold on, wait. You will find oftentimes people who have children by different men or different women, someone in that family has done the same thing. It's a, I'm telling you, it's going to be grandma,
Aminty, I've seen it firsthand. It's an excuse. Because everybody knows 1 + 1 = 2. You have sex, you're going to pop out a baby. If you have sex unprotected, you're going to pop out a baby more than likely.
Diva.
But I'm saying some people wear their heart, some people wear their heart on their sleeve. You listen, trust me, some women don't take responsibility. I've heard it all.
And that's what I'm saying.
Some people wear their heart on their sleeve.
Your heart has to do with you popping a baby with a man who ain't going to stay, who's not guaranteed to stay.
Some people still wear their heart on their sleeve. They get
that's
in a relationship,
sort of
they get all caught up. Because,
psyche.
Diva, look at this. Hold on. Most of the time, think about it. Most of the time, those men that those women are talking to are guys they grew up with, that they're comfortable with. These are not new guys. And most of the time, these guys that they've known already, that they're cycling back and they're repeating the same cycle with. Have you ever noticed
Crazy.
That, too?
Yes, I've noticed that, Minty. But I'm saying that's still an excuse. That's still an excuse.
Diva.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, I don't know if we're on the air or not, but now it's not always that either, because what's actually going on is a lot of the girls are so lonely and so alone that they feel that they're going to create or allow to be created in them an object for them to love, and somebody is going to love them unconditionally because they're not getting that love out of their family situation.
I get that completely, but the fact is, what Tracy was saying is we should find a way to help these young women and not glorify that situation.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we've done.
Are you going to have a citywide baby shower every year? You know what I'm saying?
These women expect an applause and a pat on the back because they made these choices, and I get it. I work with mental illness, and that's my life work, basically. That's going to be my life's work. So I know all about it. I know all about these psyches and situations. But the fact of the matter is I'm not going to sit there and applaud you because you are dealing with something emotionally inside of you and you keep making bad choices.
Agreed.
You know what, sometimes I wonder, I hear a lot of women say, I'm not going to mess with a man with kids or have a baby mama, but when that woman may become a single mother, she feels a lot of different because she wants a man to accept her with her kids, especially an honest man anyway.
I mean, if you're going to pop out all these babies because you're lonely and you want something to love,
hey,
and somebody
back.
Love you.
Hey, Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're heading up to the top of the hour. We're going to get ready for the weekend, and it's going to be cold in Northeast Ohio, so bundle up. Hopefully you'll get everything done today so you don't have to go out and, like, do anything. We won't have any snow. It'll be a little cold.
Cold!
I'm running low on rock salt, and, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to a lovely lady by the name of Mrs. Adrian Fordham. She's
Don't be giving Adrian no shout-outs.
Oh, I got to.
You got to give Adrian a shout-out.
Because she exemplifies flawlessly the ideal. She's been in a married, committed relationship for several years.
Does that commend Jerry?
Does that commend who?
Jerry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, no, we can't do that on the air.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I know.
I know, Mr.
We can't
Ford.
Do that on the. Wait a minute. Adrian, okay, I'll let you give Adrian this. But you can't add Jerry, because if you give her one, you got to give him one.
And what's wrong with him?
He's Jerry.
Well, he's a quiet fella, but I got to give him his props.
And we do love the Fordhams, both Adrian and Jerry. They're good people, and they have a committed, long-lasting relationship. And then they're crazy enough to go out and have a baby. She ain't a baby no more. She's a little girl.
Yeah, she's they're a solid family unit.
Yeah, they are.
And they represent the ideal that should be the norm. And here's what happened. They both put their trust in God and his providence, and all the people in their ear, not happening. No.
So you're trying to say I can't go call and give them no advice?
No, what I'm saying is, you know, you
not
have to know.
For approval.
That's a big
exactly.
question asking advice, polling for approval so that you can outweigh the vote you think.
But this is the issue.
Yeah, that's high school crap.
But hold on. But this
yeah.
is the issue. You don't have to poll for approval if you have confidence in who you are and it comes
exactly.
out of you because you were taught
exactly.
it. And what's happening is we don't teach confidence in our own home.
Yeah.
So we go and try to hook up with somebody, and both of us are very, very incompetent and crazy, and we have
uh-huh.
no confidence in ourselves at all. And how can you become a part of somebody else when you are incompetent and have no confidence yourself?
I had low self-esteem issues for many years.
You know what? I was I was at a restaurant the other evening, and it was a older black couple getting up, and another couple that was sitting across from them, and the gentleman said, you know, how long you been married? And they said 53 years.
Wow.
And they asked, you know, how, you know, what kept you guys together? The man said, well, we communicated. He said, you know, we went back and forth. We was in high school, and he went to the service and things. And the woman said, she said, well, two amazing things. She said, we never stopped communicating, and she said, compromise. And compromise, there is no one has the advantage. There is no last say. When two people are in a compromise, compromising when two people come together and compromise. The problem is that we have in our relationships is we have this wrong.
Baltimore,
okay.
this day and age, and coming from the 80s, let me tell you something. A lot of us from the 80s, I always say, our parents came from young parents and so on. We're raised selfish.
Who
do you hear
that?
Me? We are raised very selfish. Don't you take care of no man. Don't you be taking care of that woman. You do what you got to do for you. There's no unity. No one's
yep.
taught that. The mother will play two sides. I've experienced this. She'll tell the son one thing, and she'll tell the woman another, and they don't even know that that's going on. It's this type of craziness that's going on.
But
the families are so broken nowadays.
But this this has been going on for years. And this is something, and I go back to the word of who has power in the family. See, the problem is women will manipulate their men, and men will disregard their women. And when you have manipulation and disregard, which is lack of respect on both ends, a father will say to his daughter that you cannot go out until you are 16. And a mother will say, well, you can go out because daddy's not home, but just come back. See, that's lack of respect for one another.
Oh, no, that's not going to work. Oh,
but
no.
But you have to understand, it has happened a lot. It has happened, and it does happen all the time. When you no longer, and when you say, well, somebody has to have the final say, there has to be a final something.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is an agreement, whether I disagree with the agreement or not, however we come to our consensus, that consensus has to stand because that comes with respect one for another. So we can go fight it out in the basement, in the bedroom, or outside in the car. But when we come out and we speak as one voice, but if I don't respect that man and he disregards me as a woman, then I have a relationship problem right there, no matter what that may be. If we say that we're not spending money on anything outside of food, then that is a consensus that we make. When I go out and break that rule saying he don't know what he's talking about, I have a problem.
You're not going to work against me in my own home.
But
I don't care.
Eric, that's
no,
your
no,
house.
No.
And you alone.
It ain't your house. My future husband will have you guys to thank, because this is an education that a lot of young women don't get. This is not something I was taught from my first marriage. And with my first marriage, we kept everything quiet. We didn't have people in our ear, and that's why we didn't have strong support. We didn't have support, so our marriage fell apart when things started going left. And this is a real education. It's not what young women are being taught. I know my mom is against marriage. So the thing what a mentee was saying, you know, you don't do for a man is supposed to do this, but you don't reciprocate, you don't give back. And we always fight against that to fight her, because I'm like, I don't believe that a woman is supposed to be stronger than her husband. I believe she's supposed to be a support and by his side and not above him.
Exactly.
Hold on. I may be stronger than you, but my strength shows me how to submit to you. So no matter how much greater I am than you, so what if I make more money than you? So much if I'm smarter than you? So what? It doesn't make a difference because my strength knows how to be subdued so that we can support one another and I can yield my strength to you. The problem is we don't teach that, we don't learn that, and we don't know that. That's where authority and submission comes in, and we're not going to do that today. Hold, hey, out South Carolina, your mic is on. Hey, let South Carolina in. He ain't been in all morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey. How's it going?
Listen, I have been trying to get in. I've been trying to get in a long time now, but I've been busy all morning. I've had
you better hurry up and say what you got to say.
Glad to be with you.
Glad to be
on your mind.
Hold on, South Carolina. You better hurry up. We ain't only got 10 minutes.
Okay, come back to me. I'll be there in a second.
Private caller, your mic is on. The second private caller.
Okay,
hello?
Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah.
You got to hold on.
Well, real quick. Tracy, see, I understand what you're saying.
Hold on. No, Maryland, Baltimore. I got to let Stanley in. Stanley ain't said nothing. Go ahead, Stanley.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
What is
that? The silence is threatening here. Somebody needs to pipe up here. Come on.
What did you say, Jeff?
I want to say one thing before you go. When it comes to that, you have to learn common respect for one reason. A marriage is 100-100. It's not 75-75 or 50-50. You don't own nothing anymore. You don't own yourself even. And that's what you have to understand about it. And then it'll be well with you because then you won't have any corners to go to when the fight is over. You have to stay right there where you're at with each other. And that's the bottom line. You'll learn that, and you'll learn to love that as you learn to love that person. If you
love
somebody,
you
better... Huh?
I got a question for you. Because you said it's 100-100.
Yeah.
And I've never seen 100-100.
Yeah,
all
I know
is...
It didn't work good.
Hold on, but my question is, even when it's
no,
not 100,
right.
When it's not 100, I still got to stick and stay and choose that I'm going to stay with the commitment, even though the person at that time is not giving me 100%.
Well, you're struggling then, right? Well, you got problems. You need to sit down.
No.
Let me see,
one person picks up the slack from the other person.
One thing I'll say is this. Love truly does cover a multitude of sins. There's a time when you're productive, but there's a time when it's non-productive, and that's what you have to watch out. If it's nasty to you, you can't stay there. But because if somebody's beating you and this, that, and that, no, you don't stay in that. But the thing is there's other situations that people take as serious, really that serious, and so they have to start understanding. You sacrifice to be with each other, and that's what love is. You love that person. If you don't love them, don't mess around with this.
And let me also say this. You have to choose to love every day. Because some days, the person that you're with is not lovable. They have gotten on your last nerve. And when I say that, because
that's not work.
What'd you say?
You can do that for the sake of the kids and stuff like that, but you'll never stay with that person if you don't love them. And
no, but I'm saying, Jeff.
If you don't become lovable, forget it. That's not going to work.
But Jeff, well, listen to what I'm saying. There are days where you look at. I'll put it this way, because I learned this while I was married. When you first get married, you're all in love, and everything is goo goo eyes, and you're always anticipating the day that they come home. And then one day shows up, and you look up and you're like, oh, damn, they come home.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you took, oh, shit. And the love, you know, I love you, but do you have to come here? You've gotten on my lap. You are not, I'm no longer as infatuated. Your glow is no longer glowing, and I found out your feet stink, and you get on my nerves. And I love you, though, but you have to push your way past that. And that's
once
something
again,
that we have to learn, because
no,
we fall.
That's something you have to choose properly with, because
that's
well,
what I'm saying.
It has Tracy. Nothing to do with none of that. Because if
you
don't have the decency in you to care about that person, because googly eyes is not love.
You missed my point, Jeff. I love you. But Jeff, you gotta understand, what happens when you, remember the honeymoon is over after a minute. It takes a minute, but honeymoon leaves, and then you got the 5-year slump.
Reality sets in, no doubt. But once a, go ahead.
And listen, love is a verb. Love is a verb. And
too
many of us use it as a noun. It's a verb. It requires action. It requires energy. You know,
absolutely.
You can't just say I love somebody without the action coming along with it. And sometimes you love them in spite of themselves. Sometimes you love them in spite of their feet stinking. Sometimes you love them in spite of them snoring at night. And if you don't believe none of that, ask my wife. She'll tell you she loves me to death.
I mean, and that's something, I mean, yeah, and I'm with you, South, and Jeff, you are right, but what I'm saying is there comes a time that everybody's not giving 100 at the same time. So when you're not giving 100 and you're only giving me 75, I got to give 125 to overcompensate your 75.
Right.
Well, you can only give your 100, and there's nothing more you can do.
But what I'm saying is, because what happens is, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, after a while, if you don't keep it real and keep it live, you get stale. And when you get that stale, you know, I think I heard Not So Blind Mike out there saying the 7-year itch. People start wandering, and there's many a woman whose husband has come back in years later and said, you know what, I no longer love you the way I did. I want out.
Uh-huh.
And she's like,
hold on,
what happened? So what happened here? And you know, and he because he's found somebody who's paid more attention,
yeah.
Or he's engrossed himself in work so much that he's forgot about who was home,
yeah.
And it's not because he did not love her, it's because the spark that they once had has just fizzled out, and they didn't keep it alive,
mm-hmm.
Because life comes in and can squash the spark.
Yeah, it can indeed. Getting them is one thing, keeping them is another
enchilada.
I make one comment.
Work never ends. It doesn't end with wedding cake. That's when the work begins, at the wedding cake.
10-second comment, Tracy.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
Anytime someone feels less appreciated and feels less in relationship, they're not happy. Anytime that someone feels like they're doing more in that relationship, they're not happy. As soon as that happens, it's unhappiness in the relationship. So it has to be a balance.
It happens all the time.
It does.
And that's why I got divorced, because I'm sad to say it's some of those things, Tracy, that you were saying earlier. Well, these concepts are just not true and it's not working, Tracy, and I can prove it in my own life. I have to question some of these things.
I was able to push through the unhappiness. I was able to push through the balance and do what Tracy says.
Yeah.
Sometimes other things come into play, and then you just can't take it. So I have a cousin who was going through it in her marriage, and we talk, and she's come to the conclusion, like, I still have to do my part. I still have to do what I have to do as a woman, because that's what the vow that I made to God and to him, even though he's not giving me my all. And then as Christians, we are to believe that God will work on the other half. Those who don't believe, you might end up in a situation where you're going to be divorced when it comes to the little petty stuff, because you have no center, you have no gravity,
uh-huh.
in a higher force like we Christians do. We lean on God during these times.
That's where I agree with Diva, because she was challenging Amente earlier about wearing your heart on the sleeve, that phrase. Wearing your heart on the sleeve is a euphemism for, my need for companionship is so great, it's okay if you disrespect me.
Hey, good one.
What happened?
I
don't know, but that was a good statement.
That was. But in essence, in truth, that's exactly how it plays out.
Sure does. Hey, you all have a great weekend.
Was that all, Sarge?
I'll see you in the studio Monday.
Hey,
oh, no.
No, that wasn't me.
I have to call off sick.
What's up, Tracy? Yeah. Doc, your pay.
Oh, Steve, I gotta get Steve down there.
My name is Mike.
I'm gonna miss him.
Have a good weekend,
like it,
Jeff.
I like it when they call you Offsex.
What?
My name's Mike.
I thought that was Offsex. My bad.
But anyway, Diva, well, I mean, what I was saying, guys, and this is real controversial, see, a lot of these concepts, and I think it's, I hear a lot of these women out here, they're real powerful, and similar to Tracy, real ambitious. And just me personally, this is my theory, I just cannot see a man coming in her life and totally having the last say. I think she's a woman that wants someone to be compromised, and like I told what that black couple said, it's compromise.
Yeah,
see,
but
that,
see, here's what, see, that's what you call it. That's what you call it.
Hold up.
You're
see,
judging
she
a
had
person.
Me muted whole show. She had me muted whole show, but let me hear me out.
But the fact is, Baltimore,
out.
Is that I can have
you
a...
You haven't even heard me out.
Baltimore,
I
can have a very
seconds.
Strong personality, but I also know how to rein that in
you
when it comes to my husband, when it comes
you
to my man.
Hold on, but you got to have
damn sure
heard
don't know how to do it on the radio.
I don't do it on this show. You ain't my man. I ain't trying to please none of y'all.
You just argue and fight.
I know you're not trying to please me.
Hey. One at a time.
Because I can't do it at home. Take it out on y'all.
Hey,
you're my outlet.
Diva, you must submit to your husband, Diva, according to the Bible.
Of course, that's what I just said.
The damn Bible.
I'm
letting you know, if anybody raised their daughter to grow up and to submit to a man they crazy as I don't know what, and if you keep on putting
Diva,
that in men's mind.
Hold on, no, but you got to ask
you
to be a righteous man.
I'm done, man.
But you've got to know what submission is. Submission isn't being subservient. It's not being a slave.
Well, I'm
it's
not
understanding
saying that. I'm just saying that.
Her husband.
I'm not going to let you
yeah,
talk,
course,
man. You keep cutting me off. What are you talking about? You cut me off, James? How are you going to talk?
Oh,
you cut me off.
My bad, bro.
No, see, Diva, I'm trying to tell you is this what I'm learning, and you don't have to. I'm not trying to change you, but see, your philosophy is that someone must submit, but then you say being a compromise. There are certain things that me and my wife that's going to have the whole family, like where we may move at, and all of those types of big decisions that we're going to have to come together and make and compromise. Okay.
Listen, does
it
compromise Baltimore?
No.
Yeah.
Listen,
you
to
got
me.
A man. You got
listen,
a husband.
Listen to me. I want you to look up the word compromise. And when you have two people together, right, there is no last decision making. No one says I have more leverage and I pull this. You submit to me because I'm the man and I make the last decision where we move at. Whether my family
yeah,
comes
man,
and moves
yeah, man
at our house. Yo, man, why you
I'm sorry,
me
Baltimore.
Off?
I believe differently. I believe.
And I'm letting you know that's the problems in our relationships because, listen,
no,
you're not
that,
have,
see, that's different, Baltimore, because the problem in my first marriage was I didn't know how to submit. No one taught me about the true understanding
you,
what
you
it means.
Were you married once already?
Yes, I'm divorced.
Okay, so listen.
Oh,
okay, so what? Okay, so what does the submit mean? See, you can't say
if
you can't
listen,
say that I'm going to submit to my husband, but then you're going to pull out your cards and says, but if he does this, I'm not going to submit to him. But then
but,
you can't say you follow the Bible, but then when you go for these scriptures, it's a contradiction.
Hey, Diva, when
what
you
are
got
you
married,
talking
you got married
about?
According
all
to God or according to the government?
What are you, Baltimore,
wow.
What are you talking about? Because submission
well,
has nothing to do, it doesn't negate compromise. It doesn't negate you and your spouse coming to talking things out within your marriage. It just comes to the understanding that your husband is
Diva.
The head of the household, not the woman, not the wife.
Diva.
But yes, you're, it is,
that's
you are
we're
to.
In a relationship. We have a decision, right? And you say what we do, and I say, you want to go this, and I say, I have the last submit. You submit to my decision. How can you say that me and you compromise on making that decision? We did not come to that agreement.
Because, well,
together.
The fact is, it's about compromise. It's not really about compromise. It's about hearing each other out because sometimes you come
no,
to a compromise. Hold on. Sometimes you could come to a compromise, and sometimes you can't. Now, what you don't do is disrespect your spouse by not hearing them
no.
out.
There is no. Listen, if it's where I'm going to give you a personal situation. When I was young, my wife wanted to live in a move to the state of Texas. Me growing up, and I hear backgrounds,
I always say the man has the last decision. Where the man goes, the woman goes. I did not sit down and talk with her. She mentioned it. I did not dialogue with her. I did not compromise. Now, I have no guilty feelings, but Texas is one booming. I'm in technology, booming state. It's a big, you know, a lot of veterans down there. I'm a veteran. It's a good environment for men. Looking back on it, if I would have sat down and compromised and at least talked to her, see, when you come to the compromising table, no one has already a last decision in their mind. Listen to me. I'm telling you a personal story.
See,
you don't go to the decision table. It's like, I'm already making my decision. So
right,
when I
right,
play
right.
that calm, I never compromise with my wife.
But
you make a big move?
But see, you're misunderstanding what the right.
Okay, no, listen to me. I'm spraying my life to you. Hold up. I've only 10 more seconds, man. I'm spraying my past to you, man. When I did not compromise because I took those rules, man has a bad day, I'm dictator, she submits to me, she goes where I go. That's not a compromise.
That decision impacted
her, me, and our family. It wasn't just going to impact me, it was going to impact her. Bottom line, so that's a situation. When you sit down and you compromise about the situation.
Okay.
Baltimore, again, you have a poor idea of what the Bible speaks about submission. Like, the guy I'm dating, okay, we're doing a long-distance relationship at the moment. He lives back in my hometown, and I live here in Columbus, which is a three-hour drive. Now, he has his own business that he has there. So, in the case that we get married, the ideal thing is I'm going to move to where he is because it doesn't make any sense for him to move his business even though I have to move away from my family. Even though I would love for us to live here and for him to move his business here, it makes no sense.
Hold on. This is the situation. Okay, but hold up. Okay, but see, you already saying that. That's different. But what if he would come back and says, well, you know what, I may think it about, and there's some business opportunities in Ohio. Remember, Ohio is one of the states where most startup businesses
start
from.
You live in Ohio.
Because you're home. Well, I'm just saying, we're in Columbus. When he comes to Columbus, hypothetically speaking, it would still have to be a compromise there. Y'all would both have to sit down and see, well, let's talk about this. And
you're
talking about in dialogue. Oh, okay, listen. Okay, man, I'm just letting you know. When two leaders come to the table, no one has the highest stake. Because if you think you have the highest stake in me, I'm not compromising to you.
Right,
it's give
right,
and take.
You see, here's the thing. For me, I'm not trying to lead my husband. I'm not going to consider myself as a leader. Not to say that he is above me, but as a wife, as a Christian, I'm going to respect my husband's decision-making.
Okay.
That's where it comes in, things you're married, because it's a certain aspect of trust comes into that.
I have to trust my husband to make right decisions for the family.
He is the head of the household. And that's what I want in a marriage. I want my husband to be the decision maker.
I want me and my wife to be the head. I want her to be the left side of the brain, and I want to be the right side of the brain.
I had to find in my first marriage, that doesn't work for me because my ex-husband wanted that same thing. He wanted that same model.
Because you were scared. But this is the thing. Someone was talking to me, and she said that she wanted the man to lead. And I said, well, what, you're scared to make decisions?
I just want a husband who is, why would I want a man like me?
Get an educated woman who get in a relationship and don't use her education and be dumb.
You
sound very opinionated, though.
I am not. Exactly. It's not going to work, bro. I don't got it happening.
The guy that I'm dating now, we have discussions. It's about meeting the right person. We have discussions, and when we get into disagreements, he knows how to handle them. He doesn't feel like he has to overpower me. He doesn't feel like he has to hit me. He doesn't feel like, but he does know how to take charge of the situation.
You sound very opinionated, though. You sound like you're the type of woman that would, like, want to, like, you know, like when we go to a restaurant, you would want to, like, grab the menu, pick out some of the menu for me.
Oh, no. That's not me.
You know what?
I'm the type of person where I'm going to cook breakfast, lunch, dinner. I'm a very domesticated person. And I believe in traditional marriage roles, traditional biblical marriage roles. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's why women, if the man going to make the last decision, if the relationship fails, it's all his fault because he made all the last decisions. And the woman, she ain't make no decisions. It was all on him because he was the leader.
It's not about whether or not.
It's not about whether or not she makes decisions.
Right? Come on.
I can give my husband my input. But
yeah,
it's not me to force him to take what I'm saying. But about if I marry the right man, I'm pretty sure if I have a good idea, he's going to take that into account. Submission doesn't mean you have no input.
You know, it's good for her to like put in her input, and you guys.
Can you hear me?
You guys.
Yes, we hear you.
What's the use of putting your input when you got a last say?
I mean, you don't got the last say, but you could, you know, you can let her have a say too. But it's not like she's gonna like the one that's gonna.
I mean,
I'm gonna do what I want to do anyway.
See, you know why? Because listen, you gotta live in the day and time. There's a lot of women who's go to successful, and their fathers raised them to take care of their own self, and they don't want a man to come in their household and totally dictate them and rule them, ma'am. And when you get a man's and you give him and you say, well, you don't teach him about compromise, and you say submit, and he has to have the last. Some men will take that, not all. Some men will take that. They'll be abusive, and they end up and say, guess what? Look, I got the last say. I do what I want. Hey,
that's not a real man. It comes down to being selective.
Baltimore, knowing the person.
It starts how he thinks and his concept that he's speaking and what you're repeating. I'm just saying I'm going to make decisions in my relationship by myself, but there's some things that we're going to have to come together because I don't know everything.
I'm sorry, Baltimore.
I don't know what else to tell you.
There are some women out here, some of us like to submit to our husbands who want our husbands to be in charge of our house.
Well, I submit in that bedroom. I mean, I submit in the bedroom, but guess what? I don't know everything.
What works for your marriage will work for your marriage. That's the key.
Right, people finding out what works for their marriage.
You cannot model your marriage after someone else's marriage because you don't know every single dynamic that goes into another person's marriage, how they got to it, what all they went through.
How can you model it after the Bible anyway?
No, there are basic principles. It's not about modeling a specific person's marriage in the Bible. It's about following basic principles
and understanding those principles. It's like jumping jacks. It's like if we say Simon Says, everybody's going to follow the same principles, but it's not. Come on, now you're contradicting me.
Trust me, man. Everybody follows those principles. You got to stop with this.
You're telling people they're contradicting themselves. They're not contradicting themselves.
Just because you say so does not make it true. I'm going to prove to you. If you said everybody has their own model, but then you say everybody should go to this one particular model that's in the Bible. But then now you're saying the Bible has
I did not say that, Baltimore. No, let me clearly tell you what I said. Everyone has to decide for themselves what they want their marriage to be and how they want it to operate. You cannot look at another person or another couple's marriage and decide that's how you want your marriage to be because you're only getting a snippet. You're only getting a Polaroid shot of what they're putting out there. You don't know everything. However, the Bible is not telling you to model your marriage after a specific couple in the Bible. It's giving you basic principles and guidelines and what God expects out of us as married Christians. If you're not a Christian, it shouldn't bother you, it shouldn't matter to you what a Christian has decided for their own marriage.
There's no reason to debate about it.
Why do Christians bother and worry about other people's marriages? I mean, we just said it.
I don't know. You guys, I would have to say that.
I can get mad at you. I mean, we're just dialoguing here about relationships.
No, you
and
can't.
I'm just saying.
It's one thing to have a dialogue about the relevant subject, but you keep throwing random stuff out there.
Right.
You can't do that and expect to have a real dialogue.
Diva, how can you disrespect with me when I gave you a personal situation about my merge and you saying I'm throwing random stuff in it about
the
topic?
No, because you bring up something else. Like, you brought up, you throw out random stuff. You really do.
Like what?
We were talking about
the same thing Tracy we were just talking about. But one thing you have to realize, when you have that verse about a woman should submit to a man, a lot of people have problems living that way. So you know it's a problem. You know
it's
chaos.
Just because they have problems. Look, I'm not going to say that everybody understands submission. But that's why I have to say you need to get into understanding your relationship with God and understand what that word submission means. It does not mean to make your wife your servant, your slave, and you just head honcho and she's just this quiet little mouse of a woman walking around doing your every bidding. That's not what God meant by when he said submit. Because he also said your wife is the woman to help me.
You know what it says after that? It says men should also submit unto the wife.
It says men should love the wife as Christ loved the church. So
but see, David, you're saying it like it said men and women should submit to each other. If it was submit to each other,
hello?
I mean, it's perfect, but you have an unbalanced.
Hey, I'm going to bring out the Bible right now.
The Bible didn't work for my first marriage. That's
okay, that's fine. I didn't even have the Bible for my first marriage. Maybe if I had it, we'd still be married, but...
You made a very interesting comment when you said that the Bible didn't work for your first marriage. You know, maybe it's not wasn't the Bible that didn't work. Maybe it's you didn't work the Bible.
Amen.
No. Hold up, sir. See, listen to me, and I'm going to let you know now. You just attacked me on my merge, and let me explain. See, that's why you can't give your information out on people, because they'll try to attack you. Listen to me, Cliff.
No,
I want you to listen to me clearly, sir. Didn't I tell you about my merge? When I told you about my merge, sir, you was playing a lot of things in the background. Well, let me just tell you the story. It was a situation where a decision had to be made in my merge, and I should have compromised it with my wife and had that decision and had that sit-down talk with her instead of me as a man having my decision already made up in my head. I'm the man. I have the last say. She submits to me. No compromise. Old traditions. Where the woman goes, I go. What I say, last say is mine. Bottom line. That's the type of philosophy that people run by in some of their marriage. Hold on, listen to me.
That's the problem. You did not understand what God meant by submission when he spoke of it in the Word. You didn't understand it properly. Because you thought submission was me lording it over my wife and telling my wife what they're going to do. And that's not what submission is.
Doesn't it say in the Bible that you can't, after you can't marry twice, though?
No, it says that.
Hold on, let him speak.
He asked me a question. I want to answer it.
Hold on. No, you're not going to let me talk about one of my past.
But
if
you're
going to
answer,
Diva,
I want you to answer straight from the Bible, because remember,
that's a whole other subject.
I'm
going to
answer from the Bible.
That's a whole other subject, but we're going to stay on this subject.
But you can't just shut him down, Baltimore. If he wants to ask a different question.
No, he just changing the subject, and I haven't finished. You said that I was the problem because that's
not
what
it means. You were the problem.
No, you're saying that that's not what it means when a woman is supposed to admit. Hold on. What does it mean? Okay, listen, go ahead, sir. You cut me off. Go ahead.
Listen, what the Bible is referring to there is a submission
to his leadership. There's a difference. We have an idea in our head when we say submission. We think about the caveman days where the man just beat over the head and make her do whatever she wants to. In submission, in submitting, it also requires you to listen as well. You know, submitting is not just an evil thing that women have to do to men. There's some love in there. You know, just like Diva made a comment. She said, you know, you love your wife as Christ loves the church. And Christ would love the church so much that Christ died for the church. And see, that's the part that they miss very easily. You know,
no,
because if you're trying,
but
if you're
the
verses
of
1 Corinthians.
Because
if you're doing that, you know, you have to look at everything that Christ did for the church, and you'll see that it was the ultimate sacrifice. When you look at submission through that from that point of view, it changes things. It's not an evil thing. It's not a heavy-handed thing. It's a very, very loving and compassionate thing.
Okay, but listen, sir. I agree with you, sir. Okay, you may say that.
1 Corinthians 7:10-11.
But listen to, sir, you keep on going to scriptures that's not dealing between a man and a woman. I want to go to the verse. We're talking about relationships.
People
say,
okay,
I know. You're saying that this is a reference that people can go through, and it's a guideline. When it gets to that verse, people will use that verse. Now, you're trying to say, well, people not using it right, and, well, I'm going to show you how to use it. And then this man going to come and tell me and say, well, this is how I use it. I'm letting you know, I don't want to, me personally, not just me, I'm just going to hear me out. That's unbalanced.
Okay, that's fine that you feel that way.
It's a fact because
it's not a fact. But you're entitled to what you believe, Baltimore. Just because you believe differently.
Listen, in America, I am compromising my life.
Okay, Baltimore, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to compromise in your marriage. Whatever works for your marriage works for your marriage, and that's fine. I'm going to sit there and tell people, you got to have your marriage according to this way and that way.
I never said that. I'm just saying for me, the philosophy is actually the problem. I'm not telling you to change, and I'm pointing out why.
All I'm saying is, okay, that's fine. I've accepted what you said.
And I think we need to do when we use these words, compromise, seriously, we need to look it up and actually define what a compromise is, because when I go to the altar next,
you don't need to really look it up.
Can you answer my question?
The action of it is very simple. It's very self-explanatory. Two people coming together and trying to come out and reason together to come out with a solution that both people can deal with, live with, can agree on.
Right.
That's compromise.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can you answer my question when you get?
So where's the leader at? So where's the leader? Who has the upper hand? Nobody. No one is submitting to nobody.
Okay, Baltimore. Let James ask his question. He's been trying to get in.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I was
James.
Asking you that in according to the Bible, it says in the scripture that if you get married, that the woman, if you separate from your husband, that you should remain unmarried. So I was just asking because you say you're Christian. So I wanted to ask you that.
That's if you get married outside of what get divorced outside of what the Bible says that you can get divorced for.
What do you
meaning,
mean? Oh, but
if you're a believer and your spouse is an unbeliever and they want to leave the marriage, then they have the freedom to do so, and you are free to remarry.
Yeah, but where does it say that in the Bible, though? I would like to
you have to go to Matthew and Mark. It's in there. I don't know the specific scriptures, but
you
have to read Matthew.
I could give you a scripture for where it says that, which is in. I'm gonna give it to you right now. I'm not gonna read it, but I'm gonna give it to you as 1 Corinthians 7:10-11. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Hey, Alpha.
Oh, you're not going to read the scripture out. You're just going
to
give me. I don't have my Bible near me.
I want you to read it.
Right. You're going to have to give me the scriptures, dude. I don't have my Bible on me right now.
Well, y'all got to read Matthew 19 then.
I mean.
Why you can't read it if you ask her how to read it? I don't understand why people do that. Why you
right.
can't read it?
Oh, nah, because I didn't want to read it out here because then I thought that Alpha, he was probably going to start, like, bringing out, like, talking against the scriptures.
No, go ahead and read the scriptures.
What are you talking about? Go ahead, bro.
I finished my point.
That's what the Hebrew Israelites be doing. They be like, read this chapter. Like, they're like, why don't you read it?
Hey, hold on, why you got a problem against the Hebrew Israelites, though?
No, I'm talking about what they do. They be like, here, read chapter such and such. Read this chapter. The person be like a parrot. Oh, Matthew such and such. Like, it's crazy. Why you can't read it?
Hey, but what do you think about the Hebrew Israelites, though?
Nothing. I don't think nothing about them.
I want
you to read the chapter.
No, I really don't. I want to hear the chapter.
Okay, what are the scriptures again?
1 Corinthians 7:10-11.
1 Corinthians
chapter 7, verse 10 and 11.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring
it.
My Bible.
I found it, Diva. It says, now here's the thing. Here's the thing with these scriptures. When you start to read these scriptures, you need to go up at least 2 or 3 verses to get the full context. So I'll start at 6. But I ask this by permission, not of a commandment. For I would that all men, even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, serve one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to be unmarried, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry for them to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she departs, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, not if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Elsewhere were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Okay?
Can you find Mark 10 real quick before you go? I'm sorry, David. Can you find Mark 10 and then go ahead, David?
But the key to it is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 6, before all of that, because I know what you're getting at, James. It says, but I say this as a concession, not as a commandment.
Hold on, but what Bible are you reading, though? Because now you're reading
I'm reading the New King.
This is where it's going, because you can see it in Mark 10. You know, it talks about in Mark 10, verse 9, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same manner. And he said it unto them, whosoever put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman puts away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought the young children unto him that he should touch them. So the disciples rebuked them and sent them away. But you know, You have to take these things in context.
Now go
know?
To Luke.
Because you
now go to Luke.
But
Luke 16.
But what you're doing is you're taking verses and you're taking them and mixing them together to say whatever you want. Luke 16.
No,
what?
No. You
no,
but
first,
if you look
first,
at Matthew 19,
it said the same thing in Luke. It said the same thing in
Luke. Luke 16 what? Okay, Luke 16 verse 17. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever put away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And then it talks about, you know, therefore, that says there was a certain rich man which pulled the clothes and see, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
And all those were both of those verses with Jesus' words.
They,
But here's
the hold on, South Carolina. Hold on, because nobody's speaking of. Hold on, South Carolina. Nobody's speaking of Matthew 19:9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife,
hold on a second. Let me explain this. Let me explain this to you. Guys, let me explain this.
Two out of three didn't say that though.
You forget.
Let's
spoke on it three times.
You forget.
He only spoke on
love
three times.
You forget verse 16. It says the law and the prophets were until John.
What?
John the Baptist.
Come on, no,
verse,
but guess what?
Verse,
no, no,
verse
16. No, Jesus was speaking that after the John the Baptist. He came after John the Baptist, so Jesus
exactly.
was speaking that.
Exactly.
That was his commandment, right? So
no,
Jesus spoke about marriage three times. Two out of the three, he didn't mention nothing about except for adultery or fornication.
When,
when I say context,
you got to listen to it in context. You got to read it in context.
It starts with verse 16.
You know, I'm saying in context, when Jesus was saying this, it says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for the heavens and the earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. And then he goes in. What he's talking about is the law. Old Testament
okay.
law, not New Testament grace.
No,
hold
on,
No.
If you go back to Matthew, he challenges Moses, and he said, but I say unto you, you can't get a divorce. Now, it's a separate
point. Baltimore.
No.
That's all he said.
Baltimore.
Matthew, hold on. Matthew 19:8-9 says, hold on. Okay, listen. Listen to me.
King James Version, please.
New King James is the same thing. It's just without the thousand these and out and arts, okay? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is discovered divorced commits adultery. But that's only in a case if a woman or a man gets divorced outside for any reason other than adultery. And I know why you brought up this question, James, but to bring up this subject without first asking me about what happened in my marriage and why I'm divorced, what does the Bible say about judging?
What does that got to do with me?
Because why did you ask me this? Why did you bring this subject up after I mentioned that I was divorced?
Because a lot of so-called Christians, they say they follow Christ and all
that's
this, but they don't
business.
Even.
Because you didn't even bother to ask me what happened in my marriage before
that's
you even
said,
to
and
the conclusion.
Listen, a lot of these Christians, they say they follow the Bible, but they don't even keep
the law.
But
we're talking about me. We're talking about me. I was the only Christian on here that said that I was divorced. You didn't ask me anything about whether or not I was divorced before I became a Christian. You didn't ask me that. You didn't even bother to ask me what happened in my marriage. You just jumped to the conclusion and tried to prove a point that Christians don't necessarily follow the Bible like they're supposed to because you jumped to a conclusion about my situation. That's not right.
They always do that on that, man. They try to get you pregnant. Just stay on the topic, man.
He brought up the topic. That is the topic. The topic is about divorce. He wanted to.
No,
he
I'm
wanted
not talking
to,
about you, Diva. I'm
oh,
talking
okay.
about him. I'm
oh,
talking,
okay.
saying, you know. I mean, people try to cross
well, I'm pretty
lines
sure he was curious. Well, no, not curious. Trying to push an agenda. But just get all the facts before you put yourself out there like that. Because assumptions, what's the first three letters in assumptions? In the word assumption, that's what it makes you.
Yeah, but how does it make me that when I just proved it?
You didn't prove
just...
anything. You didn't prove anything.
Oh,
what did you prove? I'm the only Christian on here that says that I'm divorced. But what did you prove?
Oh, Now I'm just saying that Christians don't follow the law.
No, you didn't prove anything because you didn't even ask the question. First off, I was not even a believer when I got married. I didn't become a believer well until after me and my husband separated. Secondly, he decided that he wanted to be with the woman that he met during our separation. So even though I was a Christian at the time and fighting my divorce, I still had the right to divorce him because he chose another woman over our marriage. So therefore, to simply sit there and say nobody is, the Christians don't follow the word, even though they claim they do.
They worship on Sunday.
Trying to base it on
Sunday,
my situation,
though,
you didn't have all the information, is erroneous.
Hey, Christians worship on Sunday, though. That's erroneous, too.
It doesn't matter. This isn't a...
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Hold on, they're worshiping the sun, though. They're worshiping the sun.
They're worshiping Christ. They fellowship with one another on a Sunday.
Hey, Christ's name is
the name
not
of
even
Christ
Jesus,
Jesus.
Though. You guys worshiping Zeus. Jesus. Come on, man.
But, Dave, don't you believe in the Bible? Hold up, David. Don't you believe in the Bible, James? You quote the Bible a lot. So what are you talking about now?
I'm just saying that, listen, these lames, they put the name around.
I mean, you're talking like you don't believe in it. Doesn't he sound like that?
No, I don't believe. Are you one of those Israelites? No, now you want to label me something? Because, come on.
Didn't you label me a Christian?
Hey, I'll tell you this, though. Right. Hold on. A lot of those Hebrew Israelites got a better... they got more...
I don't care. Are you one or are you not one, so I can get a better understanding of where you're coming from?
So based on a label, you're going to get a better understanding of where I'm
from. Why do you fight against the label that which they've given themselves? I didn't give them that. Hey, I can call you whatever you want me to call you. I can call you nothing at all. But that was the label that these type of people who follow, who believe certain things,
call themselves.
Yeah, but
how do you feel that even though you look, you're not even respecting them? And what
how
they
do you
teach
say, I'm not respecting them? What? How am I disrespecting? I said nothing disparaging
like
about them.
And all that, if it's some weird doctrine, when in reality it's
I did not
truth.
Disparage them. I just simply asked you, were you one of those? And then for
okay,
you to
you
actually hesitate
oh,
and have
okay,
some
listen,
type of problem
you,
with that, that lets me know how you feel about your own faith.
What do you mean?
And your own religion.
What do you think, though? What do you think about the Hebrew Israelites? What do you think about them?
I'm going to take a Minty's position. I don't think about them. I really don't.
But you don't think that they're telling you the truth to your face?
No,
like,
I don't. No, they're not.
Oh, wow. I like that, Dave. I'm going to
start using that. The reason why I believe that is because I believe in biblical prophecy. There's nothing in biblical prophecy that says that black people were birthright was going to be stolen.
Hey, Diva, let me put a next on that day thing, you know. And you can go to Romans. It's in Romans 14. Okay, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believer that he may eat all things; another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. God hath received him. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he has given God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, and he has eateth not, and he has given God thanks. Okay? So in that verse it's telling you regard every day for the Lord. And that's Romans 14, chapter 14, starting at verse 1. So, you know, I understand.
Hold on, let him finish, bro.
What you're dealing with is people that want to glorify a day. We all know that Sunday is not on the Judean calendar as a day, the seventh day, because the Sabbath is on Saturday. That's not even an argument.
I don't know why, but Romans 14 tells me that I can eat whatever I want and I can worship God on whatever day I want. And if I'm doing it, I'm worshiping to him and not to man and nobody else. And if anybody says anything about it, they can take it up with God. I mean,
amen.
It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue.
Oh,
so,
man, come on, man. That's pagan stuff, though. How do you look eating pork?
Well, that's why I've got a lot of the denominations of it. I mean, that's why some people read that same book.
Paganism.
That's why I don't understand.
Didn't God put all the animals here for us?
How can people read that same book and get all these different
things?
Because
the old
Baltimore, some people only want to follow the one part, not all of it. See, Christians take the entire book. But you have all these other people who only want to deal with one part of it and not understand.
Some Christians say the women have to have their heads covered, can't wear no makeup.
But no. It's
that
covering that.
I hear someone do something like that.
Hold on, Baltimore.
No, I'm just saying.
You have to separate man's dogma from God. Man's religion and traditions from God, his purpose, and what he means.
Because they can sin however many times they want and wear whatever they want, eat whatever they want, do whatever they want, and still be free by grace. What they call.
That's not what we're
saying.
No, we never said that. We never said we can do whatever we want.
We have an understanding that
our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and not by slicing the goat of a goat.
Right. Okay, but when it was talking about the law, it was talking about the sacrificial law is the only law that is over with. But as far as following the commandments and all that, that's not over with. You still got
to
follow
the commandments. No one said not to follow the commandments. The commandments were written in stone. They're forever. Even Jesus said.
You know how many commandments there is?
There's only one written by God. There's only 10 written by God's own hand and written in stone.
Okay. And you know the Sabbath, it says that on the Sabbath.
All it says is keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
According to the Bible, there's more than 10 commandments.
There's nothing wrong with worshiping on a Wednesday and Sunday or a Monday and Sunday with like-minded Christians to come together in the Word. That doesn't necessarily mean the Sabbath. Yes, some churches and some organizations take the Sunday as a Sabbath. But yes, I would have to say that they're ignorant in their thought and not in their understanding. Because the Sabbath is Saturday.
Okay.
I observe the Sabbath, but I observe the Sabbath how I want to observe it.
Oh,
Saturday. Because all it says is to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. That doesn't mean I have to sit there and have a Shabbat dinner.
As a Jewish. How can you call it special but when you can serve it any way you want? I don't know.
Because all it says is to remember the Sabbath and to keep that day holy. So if I'm sitting here in meditation and reading with the Lord and reading my word,
Diva, then I'm going to go to church on Sunday and worship and fellowship with my other fellow Christians. Than the Ten Commandments. Didn't South Carolina just read the commandments about marriage and divorce and stuff?
The
only commandment there was about marriage dealt with adultery. Do not commit adultery. That's the only commandment.
What about Mark and Luke?
What?
What about the book of Mark and Luke?
It specifically said that this is not a commandment. That's not a commandment.
They were speaking on
marriage and divorce. But what you fail to realize is you got to read between the lines. You have to read the
verse first, the verse after, and everything
in between to get the proper context.
Do you know which book came first, Mark, Luke, or Matthew? Which one came first?
Why does that matter?
Because it's very important.
Why?
It's closer to the source.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So,
okay,
so
why
let me ask
two
you,
of the three?
Let me ask you, James.
Okay,
how do you keep
the
Sabbath? How do you keep the Sabbath? How do you observe
this? Hey, listen,
this?
I'll tell you this right now. On the Sabbath, it says in Exodus that you cannot drive, you cannot cook, you know, you cannot do a lot
you
of things.
They weren't even driving back then. What are you talking about? They had cars.
No, but it tells you. Hold on. It tells you on there. It tells you on there.
It tells you when they didn't have cars back then. What do you mean drive?
Come on. God.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard you say.
Hey, I mean, he said you cannot drive.
You cannot drive. Hold on. Hey, listen. In Exodus 20, it tells you, if you actually read the Bible, don't listen to your preacher and actually read the Bible, it tells
Dude,
you.
Dude, I know all
but
about the laws of Moses, and I
okay,
also have,
again.
Yeah.
The laws of Moses.
Sabbath,
the laws of Moses, the Old Testament, is a book based on history, and the laws of Moses. Jesus even had to correct them on divorce. The laws of Moses allows for divorce, allows for a man to just go and write a paper and say, I don't want you no more. And Jesus had to tell him, look, that was never God's intention. But that is something he allowed because that's what you wanted. So guess what? Guess what the laws of Moses were? It was something. Aside from the Ten Commandments, the laws of Moses was dealing with a society, was dealing with the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and needed order. That's what that was.
Wow.
They needed and desired something. They didn't have to have all that. If they had a relationship with God from the start and just leaned and depended on him,
hey,
they wouldn't need all of those laws.
A woman's
going to
drive me crazy, and I ain't saying never cheat on them.
We have Jesus Christ, and all of our sins and everything is covered by his blood. So if I lean on him, if I go to him, with him I have a direct link to God. So therefore,
in the Bible,
I don't need all that other
Christianity,
stuff.
Christianity, Diva, let me just make one quick point. Christianity is really,
okay.
It's really the devil is really using Christianity.
All right, okay.
Alrighty.
Wow.
I want to ask him. You say all this. When you look up the Bible, look, you're asking her. Diva, flip the questions on them. How do you interpret the Bible? When do you worship the Sabbath? How do you look at the Bible since you know all this? Because I can tell you how I can defend myself. I want to hear some things from you.
He ain't going to be able to tell you, though, because that's how it is.
Right.
That's how they are. They don't. James, y'all do. I've come across several people like you that if I tried to ask a question to get better understanding, You cannot explain yourself.
You just told me right now that you follow the Sabbath according to however you please. So how can
no?
Even...
I don't follow the Sabbath according to Jewish tradition.
Diva,
that's what I don't.
No, Diva, don't answer no more of his questions. Let him answer. Put some back on him.
How do you determine what the Sabbath is?
Yeah, that's what we want to know.
That's what I said. How
does he celebrate?
He quotes the scripture.
In Exodus 20, it tells you what you know. It tells you that you shouldn't
but
do anything.
But you yourself, what do you do? What do you don't do? How do you observe it yourself apart from scripture?
Yeah, how you
look? Look, I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to talk about the scripture.
Oh, well, then there's nothing to talk about.
No.
Okay,
so
James, we disregard you because you want to
get
even personal by
yourself. First of all, man, you're a spy. Hold on. Listen, man, you're a spy. You're going to come in and ask people personal questions. What do they do? And then you don't want to give up yourself. Man, get out of here, bro. You're not genuine. Get out of here, bro.
Okay. If you want to go ask the questions, then go ahead. Ask the questions. But I didn't.
We asked the question. How do you yourself personally observe the Sabbath?
One more time.
Like I said, during that day, according to the during that
no,
day.
No. You, James. You.
Day.
Quit being a talking point. You yourself. What is a typical Sabbath for you?
Well, you cook all your meals prior to sundown.
No. Not you. You. What do you do?
I'm letting you know right
now. No, then don't say you cook all your meals.
Right.
Then
don't
say I cook all my meals.
First person, yo. First person.
Yeah,
first
okay.
First.
I cook all meals, you know, before sundown. And I have them ready.
Sundown on what day?
Friday, before on Friday.
Okay.
Like today the Sabbath, when the sun goes down today, it'll be.
Right, that starts the Sabbath, okay. So you cook all your meals, what do you do?
Well, you like I said, you just you.
No,
like,
what do you do for the rest of your time? Once the sun go down, what do you do?
Oh God, what do you want to know? Like a description of everything I do.
Do you read your
like,
word? Do you fellowship? What? What do you, I mean? What do? You just sit there?
Yeah, I get a little piece of. I just study the Bible. You know, I study
okay,
the
so
Bible
for you,
and,
you don't. So you don't have a Shabbat dinner and all that. You don't have yourself
nah.
a little Shabbat dinner. You don't sing hymns and all that. So you don't fall. So you deal with the Sabbath how? So you don't sit there and make sacrifices or nothing. So you do this. You observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. How you do it for yourself, and not according to Jewish tradition, which established
no, no, no,
the
no.
Sabbath.
Hey, listen to what I'm saying.
So you have to
follow
this stuff to the T. You gonna follow it. You gonna have to follow it to the T. It's just like a program.
No, because
what you talking
because
about?
He wants to judge others on how they keep the Sabbath.
Right, exactly. I'm talking about him, Dave. I'm not talking about
right,
you.
Right, he wants to judge others on how they keep the Sabbath, not understanding that the Sabbath itself is speaking about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, that is what I speak of. See, this is the thing about what becomes the tradition, because all of that in the beginning, in the Old Testament, only pointed to him. So guess what? I've already accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I don't really need any of that. That was all to connect to God. My connection is through Jesus Christ. Now, for me to observe the Sabbath, that's to acknowledge him and keep it holy. Am I going to be out here doing ungodly things on the Sabbath? No, I'm not.
How can you be part of Christ, though, when you vote for, you know, for these presidents or these presidential candidates and you respect the government and all this stuff?
Because my relationship with Christ is my relationship with Christ. It has nothing to do with politics.
Well, great.
Politics is man-made. My relationship with Christ is spiritual.
Listen, if y'all want to go on that Old Testament stuff, listen, everybody in the world, like, I'm just listening. I say, okay, in Leviticus, it says a man should not shave. And this is what the commandments that God is saying, being holy.
Those are not
what is
the commandments,
holy.
And by God's
well,
own hand.
They are.
I know.
Those are commandments he gave to them because that is something that they wanted for themselves.
I know,
that
but I'm
book,
just saying.
The Old Testament is a book of history. You have
to
read it with understanding. And then you go to the New Testament. You can't just stop with the Old Testament.
Dude, they all it's the same thing. What you mean, man? You can't hold on. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm
no," because one is one covenant. The Old Testament is a covenant is between God and the Israelites. The New Testament is
a
covenant between God and all believers who accepted Jesus Christ.
So why do you go to why do some people go to the Old Testament to back up the New Testament? I mean, it has some relevance.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't,
right.
But you have to look at it in historical
context. All they do is talk about love. Oh, love, guys, have faith. Oh, my God, you're so great. Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. Come on, man.
Oh, because
faith.
Y'all want fire and brimstone.
Now, you're getting too funny.
God,
now, see, I'm not,
and all this
I mean,
other
come on, man.
Because
no,
Jesus
see,
loved
not,
love. He gave. He was loving in the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his life. Even
that's
for those who
believe in the Trinity, though. Look at you. You believe in the Trinity. That's pagan.
Well, okay, fine. Well, you know, I don't understand this about you people like you, James. Why even? So do you even believe in the New Testament?
I believe in the Bible. Yeah, I believe in Christ.
Oh, so you
believe
so
in
you
Christ,
believe in
son.
Some parts and not the other parts.
No,
you
hold
just,
on.
You
he said
you
believe
hold
in
on,
Jesus,
show
what do you mean by that?
Trinity in the Bible right now.
No. So you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Then how
I
do you know about Jesus
Christ? No, he
know,
said
yeah.
he believes in Jesus Christ. And what rules do you follow? Ask him that.
Yeah,
come
believe.
On.
No, but
yeah,
if you believe in Jesus Christ, then how can you discount the New Testament? I don't understand.
I never discounted his testament. You're the one discounting God's
no.
Old Testament.
No, I'm not. I did discount his Old Testament. But the fact is, by you saying we have to live under the law when Jesus specifically said he came to fulfill the law, basically, he
okay,
is the law.
What about the verse where it says,
he is the law. Why are you disparaging someone because they don't live under the law? The law kept you in bondage because God manifested himself in flesh and
came
to this earth? Why do you think the concept of Jesus Christ even came about? Because man got it wrong.
man was getting it wrong. If the law was enough to save us, there wouldn't have been a need for Jesus Christ.
Nah, you know what sin
but it
was the definition of sin.
See, I can't see when people talk about bringing relationships. See, I like to talk about relationships, and I think the problem, I just want to stay away from these conversations and the top politics, but when people talk about relationships and they start bringing in the Bible, it's just like, it's going to cause, I think sometimes we should keep it out, but some people just bring it in.
But when you bring it up, you can't get mad if somebody else is going to say,
hold up, that point in the reference about I have a problem with that, and people think that you're attacking them and try to offend them. I'm never trying to attack or offend.
But we were just talking
about ways to be men and women, and someone's bringing a reference to a book and bringing some points out, and then people just may have some questions on it. And it's not attacking nobody religion. I'm saying we can have a dialogue without bringing it up and just kick it real with each other. But some people just bring it up. But it's all
good. I'm going to try to stay away from this, man.
It's really anything that separates you from God.
Basically, the definition of sin is transgression of the law. When you put it in the place of God as your source, as your comfort, as your need, and you depend on this instead of God, that's sin.
Sin is transgression of the law.
But it goes deeper than that. It goes a lot deeper than that. That is a man-made definition of what sin is. You have to look into the Word of God to actually come up with what sin means.
Hey, these preachers, man. Hold up, Diva.
Now, if it's a debate on what sin is, then it's really confusing.
Because the fact of the matter is, Baltimore, you have someone who is a Christian, myself, and someone who is a non-Christian trying to debate on the same book. That doesn't mean the book is fallible. That means we as Christians are fallible.
Now you got to define what sin is.
No, because he wants to see. Here's the thing: he keeps looking towards man, the things of man. And he's not looking towards the spiritual things of God. He's not looking at what God's saying, what God's intentions were. He's just going off the scripture. And he's not looking deeper into it and getting a better understanding of God. That's what the law does. The law just simply gives you something to say, do this or don't do that. This is the penalty if you don't do this. This is the penalty if you do this. But it doesn't give you a deeper understanding of God.
Why do many people have different, deeper understandings of the Bible?
Because it comes with a relationship with people. Hey guys, wait a minute. I can answer that question really quick.
Why do you have people with an IQ of 70? And other people with an IQ of 160. It's an individual thing.
It's on a third grade level, man. I'm talking about the reading is on a third grade level, man. I mean, these are not no big words.
But these are straightforward. You can look at different denominations.
I'm like, come on, what's going on here? There's no consistency in this chaos.
Here's the thing about you is that we'll tell you something and you don't want to listen. You don't want to hear it. You'll listen, but you don't want to hear it.
You have to at least accept
what we're saying. You don't have to believe in it.
But you have to accept we're giving you a different level. Basically, I interpret. He's saying people read it at a different level, get different interpretations. Sometimes not different interpretations.
People are at a different level in their faith. And it takes renewal of the mind.
Why do some people live a different way? The reason he's stuck and can't get to that deep level of understanding is because he's stuck under the law. Look what they're doing in life. Forget what we call it. Look in the world. Look at that one book and look at the whole world.